The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and you can feel the energy starting to build here at Gillette Stadium, getting ready for this AFC Championship game in Denver. I think people are starting to get excited, real excited. I think the positive energy is starting to build around here. I think people know that they've got a shot because, you know, the more I listen to these people talk about Peyton Manning, I really feel that during the game he's going to look over on that sideline and he's going to see Tom Brady. And he's going to see Bill Belichick. And he's going to see that Patriots logo. And he's going to pee his helmet.
I'm just happy that you took the request of your listeners seriously.
Was that so hard?
And we got Fred back.
Was that so hard? It took you 30 seconds. Was that really hard?
You have
That's
emotion.
What we looked for
he's
from
gonna,
you.
He's going to pee. I thought I'd get more of a laugh.
That's what I want.
You went to the well one too many times. It was really funny yesterday.
Maybe he'll see Brady on the other sideline.
Maybe. Well, yes. Now, the reports are, Eric...
No Brady at practice.
No Brady at practice.
No Danny Aiken
no
at practice.
Danny Aiken at practice.
So. During the media viewing.
I think,
board.
Eric, yes. You had a Correct. Good hypothesis that you posed on Twitter that perhaps they were at some other location practicing long snaps.
Potentially. That was my initial gut reaction.
And they were going to do it so much that he didn't have time to do his usual press conference today.
Well, that kind of throws a monkey wrench in my my theory.
You can dodge a snap. You can dodge a press.
The fact that his presser has been canceled maybe leads Paul and I to believe that since Brady was feeling under the weather last week, and admittedly so, I think he told the media.
Yeah, he said he was dealing with
Brady's
cold.
Sick. That maybe this week he's a little bit more sick and so much so that he can't practice.
Yeah, I mean, he sounded okay Monday on EEI. Right?
Well, maybe he's got one of those 24-hour things. You were sick,
it.
Weren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
So maybe he's got something.
But I wasn't near Brady, and he wasn't near me, so I don't...
Could you have played?
I think there might be other people in the world who are sick.
Fred would have gotten his
I would have played. Oh, yeah.
Maybe Giselle's sick.
Yeah.
Maybe the kids are sick. Kids are what get you.
Yeah.
The damn kids bring it home.
All right, well...
Or so, the staff. So he's probably the staff of 20.
That's the practice news. Ryan Allen is there.
He was there, yes. And Aaron Dobson, who we haven't seen since week 17.
Told everyone yesterday.
You did?
Yes, that he would be there.
He was. You were right.
Yes.
You told everybody that yesterday?
Yes, I did on this show.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Is that NFL Network live in our media workroom?
I think so.
Yeah. But why do we think Ryan.
Or Denver's.
I mean, why do we think Danny Aiken wasn't there?
It looks like us.
Do we think that there's something going on with him?
Well, that was interesting.
We posed the whole snapper thing that Eric, I thought, came up with a reasonable.
Right.
Or maybe he's hurt, and that's why he had such bad snaps.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
And then I kind of thought that initially, my first thought was, ooh, we all were expecting Ryan Allen not to be there, but the long snapper's not there. He had a bad snap. Was he cut? Was he hurt? And if so, they didn't have another long snapper on the field.
Right.
But Rob Ninkovich
is the only other guy on the roster who has long snapped before.
Right.
Russ Hochstein's also available.
So if there is something wrong with Aiken, maybe maybe Ninkovich has to pull double duty this week.
Or we could sign Lonnie Paxton, and he could wear a GoPro during the game, and it would be like working for both companies at once.
Is he living in Colorado still?
I don't know.
I think he was out there, yeah. I think he's still
Because he's a
there.
California guy.
Yeah.
Where's GoPro?
I don't know.
Where's GoPro?
Oh, they're out in Hawaii?
I don't know. I was hoping you'd say it with a period, not a question mark.
I don't know. I saw the 60 Minutes
know,
did
pro.
A thing on the guy. They seem to be in Hawaii a
you
lot.
You don't know from pro.
Maybe that's just because they all surf or something. I don't know.
All right.
GoPro. So that's the practice news. And look, don't freak out about Brady. He's
he'll
fine.
Play.
Yeah.
I mean, don't know if he's fine.
Sources are already telling Reese and Breer that he's going to play. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I know everyone's freaking out on Twitter.
Most people assume that the source in that is you.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's freaking out. I don't think anybody expects him not to play.
I think, to me, the more interesting thing is Danny Aiken. Why isn't he there? That's, to me, more interesting.
Well, if you believe Eric, he's practicing long snaps with Brady. Because we also have to wait for the injury report. Is it DNP or is it limited?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm actually – I think Eric's scenario is plausible because they didn't have anybody in.
But what about the press conference? Why did the press conference get moved
to
Friday?
Because he's doing it Friday. Maybe they just so why we doesn't have to do them
the
both.
The thing that makes most sense with Eric's is we're not going to waste time.
Why do it Wednesday
practice,
and Friday?
You know, yeah, that was my thing.
We're not going to waste time during practice doing those
Friday.
Snaps. So
right, so do it during stretching.
During stretching, get it out of the way, and then we can have a regular practice.
Exactly. That was my.
Well, that was Eric's theory.
We just said
sound.
He did. He just gave
sound.
Me credit for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going with it.
No, but the question is.
But isn't he going to have to snap outside?
No idea.
Yeah, maybe they were. Maybe they were on the game field.
Oh yeah.
The question, though, and I think it's a valid one, Andy's asset and a bunch of – why Brady? Why not Mallett? You know?
I don't have
now
the answer.
You have a
I don't have the
week
answer to that.
To get ready for it. You
now
don't have,
Paul's little – he's cold. Right. He's not ready to go in.
You
theory.
Don't have that excuse, so why
I don't
not,
know why you have to mock it so bad.
You know, why not get Mallett ready?
Although he'd still be cold, right? I mean, he's only going to play like
no, but I but my theory – no, my theory was that if you were going to be without Ryan Allen or – maybe you want Ryan Allen, he's okay to punt, but you don't want him holding because, you know, that radius of how much he might have to move might be different. But now you'd have the whole week to have Ryan Mallett hold. So
right now
the whole, it's pouring raining and he's cold on the sideline halfway through a game is out the window. Now, they feel better with Brady.
Now, the fact that, you know, if it's true that Brady is with Aiken somewhere, that doesn't rule out Mallett. Now, during the practice, when the specialists are normally on the other field doing their thing,
maybe
that could be Mallett.
Maybe Mallett gets his reps too.
He's still the backup.
Right.
Yeah.
So he just doesn't get advanced.
So Mallett now gets that week doing it as the guy in practice. And Brady still gets a little bit of a tune up.
Just in case
just
or
in
whatever.
Case.
Yeah.
So we could still see Mallett as the holder this week.
You think Tony Romo was like, please bobble it, please bobble it, please bobble it.
Or Ryan Allen is able to do it still.
Right.
And the Brady snaps or the Mallett snaps are just in the emergency again.
Correct.
Or both Brady and Aiken are hurt and we're in the training room.
Possible. All possible. Yeah. We just don't know.
I mean, he had enough bad snaps where you could say there's something wrong with him.
All right, so we want to hear from you in the next hour and 50 minutes. We gave you absolutely nothing concrete to go on.
No, I think that, you
we're
know,
posing all the ideas.
Yeah, I just don't.
This
we don't
isn't
have
Felger Radio right. Where you just offer one possibility, hammer it home, and don't acknowledge any other possibilities.
Yes, Andy.
You know, so a little bit of intrigue going
James,
into the game.
Do you like that, James?
Late breaking news yesterday. Marquise Cole was signed by
Traitor! Denver. Traitor know. Cole!
That's more significant than Deion Branch, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think that he has a possibility to get in there.
To get in there, but also he knows more about this year's team than Branch does. Way more.
Yeah.
Plus, he still has a locker.
I really don't care about that stuff as much. I know that's the big talker that everybody talks about, you know, what the information – I think Denver's desperate. I think it's a sign of just how desperate they are and how many defensive backs they've lost.
But
they had
is.
To sign a guy that, you know, the last scene was getting absolutely torched by
yeah,
Mike
but at
Wallace.
Least he played.
But the
I mean,
thing
at least
about
he's been in the league.
The thing about Marquise Cole is the longer he played, the worse he got. But whenever the Patriots inserted him, like because they needed him just for a game, like when they played
like
in London, the game in London, Marquise Cole had a really good game in that game.
He's not a horrific stiff.
Yeah, he's not.
But he gets toasted a lot.
He does. But I think in a pinch, he's not a bad guy to, we need somebody.
I just think based on
NFL borderline player
yeah.
is what he is.
And based on the the possibilities that Denver had, there probably weren't too many others that were any better. Because, like Eric said, he's been
awesome.
He's played this year. So how many guys are on the street right now that have played as recently as a month ago?
Right.
46.
Probably not that many.
See, I think in his case, he could actually help them.
Well, I would be surprised if he didn't play. Like, yeah. Branch, I would have been surprised if he was dressed.
Yeah.
This one, I think they need him to play.
Yeah.
And if I see him take the field and I'm Tom Brady, I'm going to
say,
Tannehill,
you know, Omaha, Omaha, Cole, Omaha.
The only problem is, I kind of need a receiver to do that. Yeah. I don't really have any of those.
Yeah. So that was the news, and, you know, that was fairly, that's interesting news, you know. So the question is, who are the 49ers going to sign in the Super Bowl once we get to play?
Do you really think the 49ers are going to beat Seattle, huh?
I'm leaning that way.
I think they're a better team than Seattle, but
I like the Seahawks
know.
In that game.
Yeah, I that's not my definite pick yet, but I'm leaning that way.
No, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I know we don't do that till tomorrow.
Well, but question for Patriots Nation to ponder over the next day or so.
Christian?
Assuming the Patriots get there, who would you rather face? Brady's boyhood team?
Yeah.
Or the former coach, Pete Carroll, which is a better storyline.
Paul and I both say Seattle.
Me too.
And
I do too. I like Seattle.
And we also said that I think more experts will pick the Patriots to win if it was against Seattle rather than 49ers.
I think you can run on Seattle. I think that's the one thing you can do against that defense.
Yeah.
Suddenly we're a running team. So
to me, it's all about the other side of the ball. I think both teams have pretty good defenses, but I think San Francisco can score points and Seattle can't unless you make a lot of mistakes. Seattle does not move the ball offensively, and their quarterback right now is not playing very well.
So, for
that reason, I would rather play Seattle than San Francisco.
For that reason,
I'm out.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free
number. Do you think anybody ever says to Robert, and for that reason, you're out on everybody?
Yeah.
He never gets in. You ever notice that? Yeah. And then when he gets in, he has to go in with somebody?
Yeah. He
doesn't have real money, right? When they do those little lead-ins, his money that they talk about is always less than the others.
Yeah. He sold his first company for a few $100 million.
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing to sneeze at, but the others have more money, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So anyway. Oh, Kevin's walking in with food.
Oh, I'll eat them.
A lot of good emails. One that came in, we got criticized on air yesterday. And
we always get criticized on air.
And it was someone from Maine. And that person actually emailed back this morning. And he said, listen, guys, I never intended to criticize you publicly. This is from Azzo. I never even occurred to me that you would read my email on air.
That's what I called him.
Okay.
Had that possibility occurred to me, I would not have written or sent that while I was upset with you. So
you don't have to do that. You can write and criticize us anytime you want.
So my email would have read more politely. I want to tell you that apart from the arguing, your show was just fantastic. All the shows on Patriots Radio are superb. I especially enjoy listening to Diassi. I listen every single workday.
Hey, Azzo, he's not on here.
I listen every single workday during the football season on my computer at work. It was unfair to say that I want to hear Sage football analysis because that is what I hear every single day from all of you guys. Yes, I despise the arguing. It absolutely pisses me off. And some days it makes me switch over to music instead, but I feel just awful having critiqued you so harshly in a public way. I didn't mean to. For that, I am truly sorry. I admire you for not picking or choosing only complimentary emails. You got some nads, and I find that impressive. Now on to pine pollen. And I thought this was interesting. I read this before the show. The pollen of any plant is the male reproductive part of the plant. So when you eat pollen, you're eating free testosterone, and it is potent.
I'm eating plant spunk?
Not only is it potent, a natural male tonic, but it's the only plant that I know of that eliminates accumulated radiation from our bodies and works particularly well against the cesium coming out of Fukushima. It does this in a number of ways.
Fukushima? Isn't that Japan?
Yeah.
Yeah, the nuclear power plant.
All that radiation.
How much radiation am I getting from that?
At this point, not a little, but not a lot. But
not a little.
Over time, you know, it could be significant.
Now, do I get radiation from other stuff? Like power lines and telephones and stuff?
You get a little bit every day.
How can I measure my radiation?
You know?
Can I get like a Geiger counter and rub myself with it?
Anyway, thank you for the email.
What you do at home is your business.
In response, Jordan wrote in, he says, I've never called or emailed, but I love listening in. And most of the time I'm listening on Patriots.com well after the show has been broadcast. One of the reasons why I love PFW lies in your asinine arguments, heated debates over almost nothing relevant to the grand scheme of things, and playful hostility that is spontaneously evoked among the hosts of the show.
Spontaneously.
I think we will now have an argument over the pronunciation of spontaneously.
On January 14, 2014, within the final half hour of the broadcast, you've received a vehement complaint from a listener who deemed your program as low quality in response of your excellent, entertaining, and valuable arguments. Just let me end this in one final sentence. I think you should keep up the petty arguments, heated debates, and all the yelling and screaming you guys can implement. Looking forward to Wednesday's show and for more inappropriate conversation involving all things Patriots. So there you have it. Little, you know.
So you're going to try some pine pollen?
I might.
Because you do the fish oil and some of that stuff.
Yeah.
The fish oil and the flaxseed oil. Yeah. I swear by them.
Not that I need any more testosterone than I already have coursing through my body, but, you know. Maybe Paul. Maybe.
Sprouting from your chest.
Easy, Manny Ramirez.
So, all right.
Now, is that available at GNC in common places?
Pine pollen?
Is this a
I'm just
going to
lick it right. I have a bunch of pine trees. I'm just going to lick it right off the bark.
Won't be your first time.
So, yeah, you lick wood all the time.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Michael's in Oregon. Hey, Michael.
Did I hear right? Is Fred Kirsch back?
Oh, I'm back, baby.
There, that's what I like to hear. Okay. Now, unfortunately, I have a negative question for Paul and Andy, please, because I need to hear positiveness from Fred. Are you guys scared of Steve Gregory's play, or was it like just a bad game he had and versus the Colts? Should we be worried?
Gregory?
Yeah.
He
kind of got burned.
Refresh my memory.
Everyone said McCourty was flat-footed on that play, but as I was watching, it seemed like
McCourty was the one to give up the touchdown. He was late, very late on that touchdown. I don't think the safeties were great. I don't think the safeties are great. I think that they're okay. I think that they can be I don't think the downfield passing game where you would expose safeties is a big part of what Denver does. Now, I think that they'll be able to take more shots if the weather is better than it was last week for Denver, you know, as an example. But I think what you need out of those guys is good tackling.
Right, there's a much better chance Demaryius Thomas catches the ball and then makes Steve Gregory look silly on one of those
I would worry about
tackle
that.
Bad angles than necessarily toasting them over the top.
They run a lot of screens and things that they expect to get significant yards
and
after the catch.
Good after the catch too. I mean, you have to tackle in this game. Beyond, you know, everybody, you start with cover. Obviously, you want to cover them, but you also have to tackle, or you're going to be in
trouble. Yeah, Decker's very much like Edelman in the way his shiftiness,
but bigger.
Yeah.
Okay, but are you guys confident that Gregory can do good this game, do more good than bad?
Well, I agree with Paul. My problem with Gregory hasn't really been in the passing game. It's early in the season, he was really run-supporting well and taking the right angles, and that seems to have slipped.
He's faded.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about that because I think that's a big part of what Denver does. They want to make yards after the catch. Peyton gets the ball out quick. He puts guys in positions where they can make some plays. And that's a big part of what their offense is. It's not a downfield passing game. So Gregory's going to have to tackle. McCourty, Tlaib, you know, those guys
Harmon,
are going to have to tackle.
Ryan, they're probably all going to be
involved
at some
They're all
going to
be out there. They're all going to be out there. Because they're going to be playing with at least six defensive backs, right?
Yep. And then,
probably at times more than that.
And then a quick shout-out to Kevin, because he made me look like a fool yesterday. I was walking to class listening to the show. He threw out the "Who's the pussy now?" and I absolutely lost it.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Like, I was really weird.
That was good.
All right, and don't worry, I'm back. Don't worry.
Thanks, Mike.
So, speaking of that, John writes in a lot of. We have a lot of good emails.
Oh, we'll read some.
John in New Brunswick says,
instead of shaking your head about him.
Let's take a look back at the season. Before the first break.
I thought you were going to take a break.
A lot of good emails. Let's take a break.
Before the first regular season kickoff, we had lost Welker, Hernandez, Woodhead, and Lloyd, and we speculated week after week when Gronk would return. Early on in the season, the naysayers said we would lose to Atlanta and New Orleans. Later on in the season, people were saying that we would lose to the Broncos and Ravens. Major injuries, Wilfork, Amendola, Mayo, and Gronk, just to name a few. But through all of this, there was only one consistent thing. you, Fred. You always told us they'll be fine. When many of us didn't believe they could win, you always picked our guys, and you were right. We laughed at you for being a homer, but you believed more than many of us. Now we are 19 days and two games away from our fourth Super Bowl win. I will admit, like many fans, that I am nervous. The three remaining teams are all very good. 2 years ago in Indy, we had a solid O-line with some great weapons, so I think many weren't surprised that we got there. But this year, in all the dark moments, you were our leader, the head homer. That made us remember what it is to be a Patriots fan. I agree with Chester and Christian. We want to take no prisoners. We're going all the way. Fred Kirsch, we want him back. We don't need you to be another negative Eric or a highly analytical naysayer like Paul and Andy. Now that we're in the playoffs, we want Fred back, all in. Take us to the promised land. Take us to New Jersey.
What are we waiting for? Take us!
Right.
So Mick, Rocky II.
Good stuff. Jonathan writes in, if and when the Patriots win the Super Bowl, would Marquise Cole get a Super Bowl ring?
Yes.
Fat chance.
No, he's going to get one.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
You're so slow, you can't even figure this out.
What do you mean? Oh, because he's going to be on the Broncos.
He's not going to get one from the Patriots.
Oh, I think he will.
I don't think he will.
I think he will.
Is that what you thought he meant?
I thought he meant because he's going to get one no matter what.
No, he said the Patriots
going to get one no matter what.
You're crazy.
I think he's going
to
get
one. He went to a team that we're playing.
You didn't want him. You could have had him.
So but that doesn't mean you have to give him a Super Bowl ring.
He played most of the season on your team.
He's not getting
I think
him.
If he won 12 games and the bulk of the
season.
I think if he had stayed out, he might have gotten
then
one.
Then that's horrific. That's horrific treatment of a guy.
Oh, stop
He played basically the full season for you, and you're not going to give him a Super Bowl ring?
No.
That's awful. That's awful.
Okay.
You want to bet on this?
I wonder if Tyquan Underwood would have gotten one.
I'm not going to bet on it.
If they had beaten the Giants in 46.
Now, I think he would have gotten one.
Yeah,
I'll be stunned if he doesn't.
I wonder.
And if I'm him, I file a lawsuit with the league. Or
oh, for God's sakes. What is wrong with you?
I think that's asinine when a guy plays like the
full
year.
But they had a guy that was actually on the practice squad at the time that they won it, and they didn't give him one.
Who?
That Jaminelli
guy.
Yes,
they gave it to him.
Well, because he bitched.
Right. And this guy should bitch, too. That is horrific if you have a guy that you don't give a Super Bowl ring.
I don't think you have to give it to anybody who's ever been on the team.
Horrific.
Yeah, I disagree.
Fred, less than a month ago, he was your fourth to fifth defensive back.
Yeah, he was been on and off the team all season.
And if they wanted him, though, they could have kept him.
Exactly.
So but they didn't.
No, I know. So therefore, why should he not go to another team?
If they hadn't re-signed Austin Collie.
So he should have said, no, I kind of want a Patriots Super Bowl ring. I'm just going to sit home.
If they hadn't re-signed Austin Collie, should he have gotten a ring?
Probably. They give out a lot of rings, you know.
So anyone that's been on the team this year should have gotten a ring.
Pretty much. That's how it works. Has gotten a ring. Not
they do get to decide who gets them.
I think in general.
Oh, yeah. They give a lot of them.
Oh, they can give them to anybody they want.
No,
you know how Bill says it takes 75 players? Yeah. I think generally they give all 75 of those guys a ring.
In general, I think Andy's right. I think that this is a different case because he's on another team now.
Right.
I think that's what makes it different.
I don't. And I think it would be horrific.
And it's not
a
about
tragedy.
It's not about the team that they're playing. If he was on San Francisco or Seattle, he's on another team now.
Right.
So I'm not sure that would be the same. But in general, I think Andy's right. I think if you spent any significant portion of the season with the team, you'd probably get a ring.
Yeah. If the Broncos hadn't picked up Cole and he now, there went might through the be playoffs a guy, without signing anywhere, I think there's more of a likelihood he would have gotten one.
Oh, I think he definitely. I think it's 100%.
I think it's 100% now.
If he didn't get signed by anybody, I think it'll
be
100%.
Stunned and disappointed in the organization if he does not get a ring.
But what about the only guys I could see is if maybe there was like a practice squad guy that was here for just like a week.
Right.
You know, even the guys that are on the practice squad now toward the end of the year they just picked up, maybe.
See, I think they have to get it because they prep you for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they probably would get him, but,
I mean,
you know.
Yeah, that's a real kick in the nuts. If you bring a guy to MetLife, he's prepping you for the biggest game.
Right.
And then you go, oh, by the way, you're only here
2 weeks.
But
that's what Elliott did, right?
So he got one.
What's your line?
But he didn't initially.
What about if you're like in training camp? No?
No.
So what's your line? You have to play.
Training camp?
You have to play it in a few games, or what's your line?
No, the practice squad gets him.
No, the practice squad.
And I think Jake Beckett deserves a ring.
If you spent significant
time. If you're on a roster.
Like Paul said.
What's significant, though?
Well, like Paul said, if you were a guy who was like week one on the practice squad and then got cut, you really weren't on the team. But if you spent half the season.
I'm not even sure. I think if you're in that locker room for like a month,
yeah,
you get one. However you get in there, if you're in that locker room
for
a month, if you come and go for a month, you get a ring.
Yeah, that's how I would define, you know, significant time. Yeah. You know, more than a week. You know, if you're there for a month on the practice squad, or, you know, you spend a game or two on the active roster during the course of the season, you should probably get one. DJ Williams, if they have to cut him now,
yeah,
we'll get one.
Right. Absolutely, and deserving.
What if he signs with the Broncos the day after?
Well, then I think that changes.
I think
things.
That changes things. Yeah.
See him, I would be now.
If you end up on another, if you end up on another team,
was a core player
during
for like,
that season.
I think that might change things.
So that's
I think that clouds the issue.
That's where you guys are all agreeing, except for that part of it.
I think the fact that he's on another team, and it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that they're playing this team. If he was on Seattle right now,
right,
and Seattle ends up losing and they beat San Francisco in the Super Bowl, I'm not sure that he would get it.
Years ago. I thought this happened a couple of years ago where a guy was in the Super Bowl playing the team he previously played on, and the whole story, everybody, he was going to get a ring regardless of who won.
Maybe the team came out at that point and said that they were going to do it.
Was that baseball?
Oh, baseball.
Yeah.
You're right. It was baseball. It was the World Series.
Yeah.
You're right. And he was playing his team that he played previously in the season.
I think so.
You're right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still precedent.
Yeah. Jonathan also writes in, here's a bold prediction. The Patriots will beat the Broncos to go to the Super Bowl. With 2 weeks off, both Tompkins and Dobson get healthy. The Patriots cut Austin Collie to make room for an extra long snapper. And here's the bold prediction. The Seahawks, in desperate need of a wide receiver, sign Collie. The Patriots go 3-for-3 in beating teams who sign expatriates the week of the game. Book it.
And then Collie's guaranteed a ring.
Okay.
He put in enough time here. He would deserve it.
Hell yeah. Yes.
But if he's on another team,
I don't care. He helped get you there.
Okay.
So Zoltan Mesko wouldn't count, right?
No.
Because he didn't make it out of training camp.
Right. Yeah, no, not everybody's in training camp. This isn't like the Alumni Association.
Leon Washington?
Ilya Ikidovich.
Oh, that's a good one.
What about Leon Washington?
That's a good one.
I guess he was in the locker room for a month.
You got to be consistent.
He was.
I got to give Andy credit. He's consistent.
I mean, was he active for more than one or two games?
I think he was only active for one game.
Two games. I think.
Mm-hmm. What about Andy Hart? Does he deserve
one?
Andy
played for another team.
Andy always deserves one. When I pick against them, they always win, so I'm motivating them.
So that's a good one. Leon
Washington.
They're
probably going to win this week.
What about Eric? Eric doesn't have
one. Just so you know, when you pick for them, they always win, too.
No.
Who?
They've done nothing but lose since I got here.
That's a good point.
Do you deserve one? Is that what he was saying?
I was asking if Eric deserves
one.
Plus,
he closed the door on the dynasty.
We all deserve one.
Right, the window's shut. Slam shut.
We all deserve one. We won't all get one, but we all deserve one.
Pat,
but maybe Fred will bring his in so we can all try it on.
We can all take pictures with it on.
On our schlongs.
Whoa.
What? As usual. What? Well, as usual.
Maybe your schlong is small enough, Andy,
to fit on the ring. Oh, ba-dum.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Hey, Spidey, you know I don't talk to you like that?
It was good. What do you want me to tell you?
Pat,
I'm a good shot. What do you want me to tell you?
Why did he think of that?
Because that's what he does.
What else does he think of?
That's weird.
That's what he does.
I am
weird.
Always on that.
Yeah. Could be.
Pat Nagawamp says, good afternoon, gents.
Fred's one like, thing I gotta go take a picture.
One thing I wanted to bring up that I haven't heard too many people talking about this week is the importance of special teams. I can't remember a more crappy performance in a playoff game in the Belichick era than what we saw Saturday night, so I'm thinking Bill may put extra emphasis in this area in practice this week. Also, Julian Edelman seems due for a punt return for a TD.
I've been saying that for about a month
now. Me too.
Containing Trinity Holiday will prove to be daunting, but I think Bill will have the unit ready for the challenge. Curious to hear your guys' opinion on this. Obviously, they're going to have to play well in all three phases if they want to win Sunday, but I think having a great day on special teams could be an important variable in what we all expect to be a close game. I, much like most of New England and Colorado, am very anxious for Sunday to get here and expecting another classic. Talk to you guys again tomorrow, and as always, keep up the great work.
I agree that I think special teams would be important. I think it's always important for the underdog to get some help on special teams. The problem I have is, we can't blow Bill Belichick for, you know, being the most conscientious special teams coach that there is and then say, well, they're going to practice this week, so they'll be fine. Did they not practice last week? Did they not prepare last week for the Colts? I'm assuming they treated last week like special teams were going to be a difference in that game.
Yeah, they can't have the penalties. I think they had three illegal blocks that you were talking about yesterday, Freddie, about the field position. You brought that up. You can't have, you know, the penalties. But the Patriots are, you know, they're the least, one of the least penalized teams in the league. So I don't think that that's something that you can, you can necessarily say carries over from one game to the next. The bad snap is just that to me is a once in a season kind of play that, you know, you get a safety on. I don't.
Well, the play itself, yes, but there were more than one bad snap.
No, so. I know, but that happens all year to every team. But it only.
Yeah, by the way, we're going to put a punter back there once. Who you think has a limited range of motion. Now I'm going to.
Who I think.
Right. You used some phrase earlier, circumference.
I'm just wondering if maybe that's why they don't want him to hold, and that's why maybe Brady.
I think that's a flawed theory that we have a long snapper. We don't know where he's going to put it.
Playing cranky pants today is Andy Hart.
He's taking my role from yesterday.
Really cranky.
I like
What's
it.
The matter?
He's taking my role from yesterday.
It doesn't mean nothing.
Acknowledging the fact that
something's up. You
the
got
theory
a
that a guy
today.
cannot put his hand out and catch us, but he can catch a guy who's throwing snaps all over the field, it's a little bit flawed.
I just wonder. You really seem like you got a bee in your bonnet today.
I don't think so.
And maybe they're going to rectify the long snapping situation. Maybe that's why Aiken's not there. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, I have doubts about that, too. Just bringing somebody in off the street and it's going to just work out willy-nilly.
Paul
perfect.
Says taking those are easy. Holding.
Being the holder, it's not a very hard job. Unless now, obviously, out. the repetition and, you know, the timing that it takes to do it at a very high level in the NFL, I'm just talking about catching the ball and getting it down is not a very hard job.
Tell that to Tony Romo.
And he's not considered widely considered one of the biggest chokes in the history of the playoffs, right?
That's why I said I think he was rooting for Brady to, because if Brady, Mr. Perfect Tom, you know, winner Tom, fumbles a snap or something, now it makes Tony Romo seem more acceptable, okay?
But doesn't everybody blame him for that play?
Oh, yeah.
So if that was such a hard play, like a really hard thing to do, do you think he would take that much heat for it? No.
I don't know.
An easy thing to do, and he bobbled it because
he
choked.
Halfway through or something.
Tony Romo choked.
Dan writes in. He says, guessing you guys will address the Barkley comments, so I wanted to speak for the so-called spoiled Patriots fans. I don't think it's about a lack of appreciation, but an understanding of what the team is capable of. This team basically goes into every season with half the job done already. As a point of comparison, look at how poorly the Saints managed the end of the game in Seattle. Burning a timeout to avoid consecutive delay of game calls, allowing Marshawn Lynch to run over 30 yards untouched after challenging the completion to Baldwin, and Colston making a terrible decision to try a lateral when he just needed to step out of bounds to give them two shots at the end zone. We go into 95% of games knowing that if we lose, it won't be due to mistakes like those. The fact is that for the majority of teams, mistakes that derail a team or even a season are the norm, but here they are the exception. Yet more than once, the team in ownership has been unwilling to extend itself or take risks to cover up the problems that Bill and Tom just can't make up for all the time. Perhaps the fans are not the only ones that take the success for granted.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Is he making fun of us?
He's making fun of the...
They're not getting enough talent.
Hierarchy.
Oh. Yeah.
Saying they take it for granted.
Ooh.
So.
The play in the Seattle game was a called play. He didn't do that on his own. They had been working on it in practice for a week, and he didn't have the option of going out of bounds. They decided we're running the play now. Peyton has said, I probably called it too early. We probably could have run another play and then gone from there, but there was no real decision to be made.
I didn't have any problem. I mean, I think that they didn't execute it properly, obviously.
Right.
But I'm sorry, when you have to go whatever it was, 60 yards, 60, 55 yards, they were on their own side of the field, were they not?
But they could have had
a chance at the end zone. They didn't execute it well.
But they could have had a chance. If he goes out of bounds, they got a chance to just
throw
a Hail Mary.
Peyton's line is accurate. They probably called it a play too early. They could have gotten what they gotten out of bounds, and then take a shot at the end zone. But let's face it, when you're in a situation like that, the desperation, you know, it's like...
The only flaw with the whole thing is if you've practiced it for a week, why was the receiver 5 yards ahead of him, 10 yards ahead of him?
It was bad. It was executed badly.
That's what part would bother me if I'm like the owner. Well, how come if we practiced this for a week because we knew we might be in this situation, you couldn't execute the play? It'd be one thing if it just got picked off or batted away. Your whole timing and everything was out of whack that you've supposedly been practicing for a week.
Right, right.
David thinks Gronk doesn't deserve a ring. Gronk, I mean.
Wow.
Did I say Gron?
Yeah.
You said something that wasn't Gronk.
Yeah, something that
Gronk
was indecipherable.
Deserve a ring.
Wow. What do you think of that, Fred? Should Gronk get a ring?
Is he being facetious?
Yeah, yes. I hope so. I don't know.
Well, what do you think?
Of course he should.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Robert, that wasn't like a serious question.
I don't think so.
By anybody.
Robert says, my wife has never listened to PFW in Progress. Texted her about Brady not at practice. Her exact text response, not surprising, kids equals colds, flu, he'll be fine. And she's never listened to us.
So well, I mean, hopefully he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Could be the H1N1. Isn't that coming back?
Is it?
I hope not.
One of those, like, face mask Asian flus or something are coming back.
Let's go to Andrew in Buffalo on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Andrew.
Never mind. He's Asian?
Hey, y'all.
No. I wanted to
how you
tell
doing?
Something.
I'm Asian. Doing good. No. I think the safety play is a bit terrible. This season, I think it needs to be addressed in the off season. I can see Manny, trying to find a matchup on them. But speaking of matchups, I'm thinking, what's going to happen Sunday? Now, Aqib Talib, I don't know. Like, I think they're going to match him up against Demaryius and maybe sometimes Julius. I still haven't figured that out how we're going to match up against Julius because, you could have dinner on Decker, Kyle Arrington on Wes Welker, and then maybe switch Aqib Talib, between Julius and Demaryius, depending on, what play they call it. So I wanted to know what y'all take is on that. How you think they're going to defend that tight end? Because he's going to be a problem.
Good question, Andrew. I think that maybe Jamie Collins on the tight end.
He certainly will be involved. I don't know if it'll be, quote, matching up.
And then you put Talib on Demaryius Thomas. Hmm. And, I wouldn't be surprised if they put Arrington on Welker, thinking that we'll give him the underneath stuff.
That's what they did the last time.
Yeah,
I don't like any of the matchups. I really don't like any of them.
Yeah,
I don't like Aqib Talib on Demaryius Thomas. Well, I don't like Dennard on Decker. Arrington on Welker, and I don't like Collins.
I was thinking the same
Julius
thing, Paul.
Thomas.
And getting back to what Andy said yesterday.
But I'm picking the Patriots.
getting to what Andy said yesterday. When you have a situation like that where you kind of have the edge in these matchups, then you have to go to the guy with the ball at every
that's
snap.
That's why I'm picking the Patriots.
You got to figure out how to disrupt
Greg
him.
Williams was right. He may not have gone about it in the right way, but
right.
You kill the head.
You kill the head.
And the rest will die.
Right.
That's why
and
I'm
you
picking
have
the
to
Patriots.
Get pressure. You have to hit him. You're not going to sack him. But we know if you get after him, he mentally will start to get banged
up. Would you take an early penalty?
Sure.
You would?
Yep. I'm playing to win the game. I'm like Greg Williams. I need to take a guy out. I take a guy out.
I think he's going to choke.
No, but would you take an early penalty
no.
in order to?
No, I
no, I would not give him free yards.
Mm-mm.
No,
never.
The offense is too good.
I would.
I don't want to give many.
I agree with Paul.
I don't want to give many help. I want to make him earn it and
right
see
in
if
the
he'll
side of the knee.
Right.
See if he'll poop himself.
But I'm talking to like a helmet to the jaw.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
I would.
A helmet
we,
to the
we,
jaw.
We're coming to play.
Like trying to take him out of the
you're
game.
You're not going
to
do your little pussyfoot football. We're going
to
hit you.
Ring his bell so that he's got something to think about for the rest of the game.
Or
I know this is not.
I mean, he gets the ball off in like 2.2 seconds.
No, I want to get pressure on him.
I'm saying
I'm not
take the penalty.
Right, and we hit him at 3.2. That's what Fred and I are talking about.
Yeah, I don't want
no,
to.
No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Why,
Jake Beckett finally has a role.
You get urine on you?
All right.
You've really
now
gone
three
to the well.
You've
gone to the well
it.
Way too many times.
No, but I mean, I don't know.
I don't love the matchup with Demaryius Thomas, but you got to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if this is your $50 million cornerback,
oh, I agree.
He's a big-bodied number one receiver. This is why we have you. If you're Mr.
Like a
Swagger,
dog coming back.
If you're Swaggerlicious, this is why we have you. There's another team that has too many weapons. You can't get. You need
right.
to take him away.
Right.
I'm sorry. I know he's good. He's big. He's got 16 touchdowns or whatever the hell he has. 1,400. You got to take him.
Oh, I totally
Earn
agree with
keep.
You, Andy. That's I think that's the matchup. He's got to take the other.
And
chance.
If he does the job, I just want to say beforehand, if he does the job, then I'm ready to give him $50 million.
He's got to take the other team's best receiver. That's
a bunch of a role.
But at least
it
this is the best receiver that he matches up with. It's a bigger guy. It's not the little shifty quick guy. Although Thomas is good. He's athletic. But this is why you have him.
Right. Right.
It's like Crimson Tide. You see the movie Crimson Tide? Denzel Washington, and the guy is trying to fix the radio. He's like, it's a tough thing. I almost just swore, but
wouldn't
you got to do
your
it
first time or your last.
It's tough. It's tough, but
right.
You got to do it.
Right.
That it's not easy to cover the other team's best receiver every week, but that's what the Patriots in 2013 have asked of Aqib Talib, and he's got to do it now. I just don't like the matchup. I don't think it's a good matchup. Unless the weather becomes an issue, and by all indications it's not, I don't like the matchup.
So the only matchup you really like is Peyton Manning versus himself, huh?
Yes. But I think that's a significant edge.
See,
I think
I'm not doing it. I'm not picking just because I'm going to pick a man to puddle, to pee himself. I'm not doing it. You got to pick on the matchups, and if that happens, I'll say I was wrong. I underestimated
his
suckiness.
It's not because I'm trying. Before you start yelling at me, it's not because of some ulterior motive. I'm trying to do something after the fact. I legitimately think that he does not play well under the most pressure, okay. And I think that he has an edge in all of these categories. I think that with that also comes extra pressure.
Could though,
like if Tom Brady doesn't go out and throw for 350 yards and four touchdowns? No one's going to say after the game, how could he not rip apart that Denver defense?
But you will.
He has Julian Edelman, and that's it.
Could it also be, though, that there aren't really a lot of good defenses? In these most critical games, he's usually playing teams with better defenses.
Well, that's my argument for any quarterback isn't as good in the postseason because it's harder. The teams are better. The defenses are better. The competition is closer. Everything's tighter. Pressure is greater.
I could sit here, and believe me, I could play the other side of this fence with Manning, and I have in the past. The guy's cursed. The guy has had more crazy things happen to him in the playoffs.
He's starting in Tennessee,
that,
right?
That have had nothing to do.
Him or Marty Schottenheimer?
No, didn't he have like? Didn't he choke at Tennessee?
Oh, they didn't win. Yeah, no. Well, the other team was better, but that's beside the point. For college, I don't know enough about those games, but there's been a lot of really strange things that have happened to him in playoff games where he's lost them. That weren't entirely his fault. Now, did he play great every time? No. No one does. But Tom has had a lot of games that he's won that he hasn't played great. Mm-hmm. Manning has never had that happen. Basically, maybe you could say in that Super Bowl run, I think he had 3 touchdowns and 7 picks in the playoffs that year.
Right.
But he didn't play terribly in those games. He, like last year, they got 35 points on the board. There's 30 seconds left, and the other team is 70 yards away from the end zone, and they let him throw a bomb for a touchdown.
Right.
And then he chokes in overtime to cost his team the game. Well, it should have never gotten to that. You know, as I said upstairs to Andy, they had one playoff game that they had the greatest kicker of all time in terms of percentage, Mike Vanderjack, miss a field goal that would have tied a game at the end of the game so badly that it almost went into the side stands. He had a game against San Diego that he threw for like 430 yards, and they lost.
Right.
Like, it's not always him choking. But I can't ignore the fact that 8 times in the playoffs, he went 1 and done. And a lot of home losses. A lot of home losses, Freddie.
Yeah.
Too many. That's not coincidence.
How much of the role do the refs need to play? Well, not need to play, but... How loose do they have to keep it for Tlaib to be successful and for the Patriots secondary to be successful in these matchups?
Well, you know they need to let him be physical. I mean, if they're going to call it tight,
any more than they've
trouble.
Been letting people do this year? Or
no,
about
no. I think we've seen plenty of examples here. Other teams, we've talked about Darius Butler against Welker, and they just need to do what they've done a decent amount of this year and let him grab, let him kind of hold a little bit, let him. If they're going to call it straight, no touching, then he's done. We're done. They can go home.
Right.
They got too many weapons. If you can't touch anybody.
Let's go to Janine in Chicago on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Janine.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
I'm so excited to be calling you guys.
Well, we're excited you're calling us.
Especially Andy.
We like when women call.
Well, good.
We like women.
You guys are friends. You don't even know it.
Andy likes call girls. That.
No. Don't listen to me. How old are you?
What's on your mind?
You know never to ask a lady such things.
All right, so lie to me and tell me you're like 22.
No, I'm 32 and proud.
Oh, okay. You're younger than me anyway. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I like younger women.
Ay, ay, ay.
He's also married with 2 children.
Ixnay! What do you got?
Well, I am calling in about... I think that in order to win this game, well, first of all, what I'm most proud of in the win from last game was all the rushing yards, the rushing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like if the defense is really strong the way that they have been and can get into Peyton Manning's head and get a couple picks, and then the offensive line covers the way that they did last week, And then you've got Tom Brady on top of it. I just think that our chances are really great.
So. Yeah, I agree. If all those things happen, I think not only are the chances great, they will win.
Yeah, I'm not as confident because the weapons are just so much more dramatic than last week. You had T.Y. Hilton, who showed himself to be a bit of a meow last week, and Kobe Fleener. And not a lot else. This is an offense that their running back has 60 receptions. They got all these guys with 10 touchdowns. It's a daunting task to just look at them on the depth chart and say, we got to cover him and him and him.
That's
and him.
Why I think they're going to have something cooked up for Manning.
That's where you have to go. Yeah. It's not always successful. Teams have tried it for a long time. You got to get after Manning. You got to make Manning uncomfortable. You got to confuse him, X, Y, Z, and then he puts up big numbers.
Okay. Paul's leaving.
I was curious about what you guys thought, and I'm sorry if you covered this earlier in the show. As a player, how would you feel if you were Colston on the Saints? Like, why the hell didn't he step out of bounds?
Well,
instead he threw the ball forward. Like, what do you guys think about that?
That was a designed play. They talked a little bit about it. It was a designed play that they apparently had worked on for the whole week leading up to the game. And he didn't, you know, he was coached not to go out of bounds. This is the play we're running. This is the end of the game and to throw it across the field. My problem with it, as I said earlier, is if you worked on it so much during the week, how did the timing get so out of whack where the receiver was ahead of him?
Well, he wasn't coached to throw it forward, right?
No, and the other guy shouldn't have been coached to run forward. He should have let up. He can't allow him to get past him. It's like an offsides in hockey. You can't. You got to drag your foot. You got to do something so you make sure you don't get ahead of him. But it wasn't really up to him to have the decision. And Peyton took the fall for it. He said, I probably called the play a little too early. We probably had enough time to run two plays there.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I understood that it was a design play, but I'm just, like, wondering, because obviously I've never played football, but I'm just thinking, like, in the head of a football player, do you think that that's something that'll haunt him for a while?
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
I think watching the film, it'll haunt him because he can see, oh, I could have just stepped out of bounds, and that gives us a chance to throw into the end zone. But you do as you're coached. You got to do as you're told to do, and he was coached on that play that he was throwing the ball across the field. It's what we're doing.
You know, but like I remember the Fab Five, the Michigan basketball team, and who was the player in the finals that called the timeout when they didn't have one.
Right.
I mean, that haunts him to this day.
Yeah, but he wasn't coached to do that. He was coached, you can't call timeouts.
No, but you're coached when things aren't right, call a timeout. And
no,
he,
I know.
He forgot that they didn't have.
That's
any
a screw
more
up. This one isn't a screw up.
I think it he is was a screw doing... up. If you see the guy in front of you, don't throw it.
So you just end the game?
You're not coach. You keep running or step out of bounds or do something. You don't throw the ball
Sean
forward.
Sean Payton is the guy that's to blame for this.
He took the blame. He was
as
not,
he should. It's his fault.
He's not coached to throw the ball forward.
No, and the other guy's not coached to run past
right.
him.
But
he's also not coached to go out of bounds there.
Just because he runs past him doesn't mean you throw it to him.
So what are you going
to
do?
Do something else.
And it's a lot easier said than done to just turn and
by
fire
doing,
and realize he's
doing,
ahead of you.
By doing that, he ended the play.
Right.
There was no chance of extending the play by
Correct.
Doing that. So it was a bad play by Colston.
Yeah, it was a bad call by Peyton.
Well, maybe, but within the play, it was still...
And bad coaching throughout the week by Peyton to not have his team ready for the play that he supposedly worked on all week.
All right, Janine, you started an argument, you see?
Sorry about that.
All right. All right, thanks for calling.
Love ya.
Why do you have to act differently?
I
if
want
it's a
our
woman?
Women to feel wanted.
You know, that's not how it works.
It should work that way.
They feel demeaned.
No, they don't.
It's not good.
Wait a minute. You're the one who says we need more of them around for morale.
That's not on the phone. Dylan says, hope all is well. You guys are great. Thank you, Eric, for tweeting me back last week before the Colts game. I think we'll be okay if we continue to run the ball well and get turnovers for us and not against. Have to make Peyton move, give him happy feet, try to force turnovers. We have to get in Peyton's face and push him around. I don't think Denver's defense is anything special. We have the better run game, but they have the better receivers, in my opinion. I think we.
Well, there's no opinion there. They have the better receivers by far. No questions asked. Anyone will tell you that. Their run defense is better than what you saw from the Colts last week. Their pass defense, I think, is susceptible. You know, that's what I said, though. Are you capable of taking advantage of their weakness right now? Are you capable of targeting Marquise Cole if he's on the field as their extra DB or whatever? I think, and don't totally poo-poo their running game. I think they have decent running backs. I think Knowshon Moreno is an okay running back. And remember last time he ran for 224 yards against you.
Let's see. Mark in Canada nice to have the old Fred back. Was depressing listening to yesterday's show.
It was. You let a lot of people down yesterday.
What do you guys think are the chances of Brady or Manning retiring if they win the Super Bowl this year? I would say 25% for Brady and 75% for Manning.
I would say 3% for Brady and 60% for Manning.
Really? That he does retire?
That health thing.
Well, yeah. But
what if they go in there and say, oh, yes, some things have deteriorated or things have regressed because of whatever? I mean, I think his arm strength has not improved, and it maybe regressed a little bit as this year has gone on. Who knows what they're going to find when they do whatever tests they're doing.
Tom in Baltimore says, I listened to yesterday's podcast, and I will tell you, Chester had me fired up. I really feel confident about this team. I think this is the week where Amendola becomes a fan favorite.
They need it. I picked Colley, but I'll take Amendola. This is a week where they need one of those guys to really step up and make plays.
Yep.
And they need Vereen to make a few more plays. Take advantage of his opportunities a little more, like he was when he was back catching eight balls a week and scoring touchdowns.
Josh and Sydney, I came away from watching the Broncos game with more respect for Manning. I was especially impressed with how he tricked the Chargers into jumping offside so many times. Also reminded me of an odd play during the Patriots game. The Patriots were struggling to get set, and it looked like it was going to be a delay of game. So instead of his usual pre-snap call, Brady yelled, now! And the ball was snapped instantly, saving us a penalty. I also agree with Paul that Demaryius Thomas is the real elite receiver for the Broncos, but I think he would make a really tough matchup for Tlaib. So how do you see our guys matching, matching up? What we talked about that. Yep.
I mean, if you're going to match up, quote-unquote, Tlaib on Thomas and he needs help, you just can't cover them all. I'm sorry, there's too many weapons out there. You're in trouble. You're in a boatload of trouble. I think one of the ways that they could possibly slow down that passing attack is you're going to be talking about Tlaib having a phenomenal game against Thomas.
Yeah. Let's see. Andrew, Alex from Philly. So after blowing up the Colts, I tuned into PFW in Progress, expecting Fred to pump his fist and tell us all to book our tickets to Jersey. Instead, I found a Fred Kirsch who was just happy the team made it this far and proud of the year that the team had. What happened, Fred? Have you been hanging out too much with Rook and Scalavino, a.k.a. the rain on the parade? Come on, Fred. Patriots Nation needs you to stand up. I told you, Manning's going to look over that sideline. He's going to see Brady. He's going to see Belichick. He's going to see that Patriots logo. He's going to poop himself.
Just a quick news. Belichick wouldn't talk about Brady's health status. Basically did his normal. The injury report will be out at 4.
Surprise, surprise.
Said he won't go through player by player. Quote, I know we'd love to do that, but we're not going to do it. You know, player by player. They're asking about Tom Brady. It's not like they said, you know, is Isaac Sopawaga healthy?
Well, I think he's, you know, if you talk about one guy, then you have to talk about them all. They're all one
team. No, you
don't,
because he's done that in the past.
They're all one team.
He has done in the past where he'll talk about one guy, maybe talk about a second guy, and then somebody asks, we're not going to go player by player here.
Yeah, that's when, how do they think they played? Not injuries. Not when it came to injuries.
He talks about injuries on occasion.
Very, very, very rarely.
And,
you know, sometimes, like in the case of, I think, Vince, he said it's not looking good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But not when there's a chance of guy playing, not playing, or anyone
active. That's my point. There's no chance of guy not playing.
No, anyone active, he will not talk about
the injury. There is no chance Tom Brady won't play.
That's why he's not going to talk about the injury, or not injury.
Right. So I would just say,
he's very, very consistent.
I think we all know
Tom's going to be out there. He does it the way it should be done.
That's all I would have said. I think we all know Tom's probably going to be out there on Sunday.
South Burlington,
is that
Vermont.
Hard? Does that mean, oh, my God, we're going to lose the game because I just said Tom Brady's going to play?
Very consistent.
Oh, my God!
Very consistent.
You're afraid to put Ryan Mallett in at holder. I don't think you're going to put Ryan Mallett in at quarterback.
So then the next guy, do you say that too?
The next guy's not Tom Brady.
Well, it doesn't matter.
The next guy's not the quarterback.
You're better. It's much more smart.
I know
to
you
be
will
consistent.
Always say whatever Bill did was right, because if Bill had come out and said Brady has the flu, you would have said it was. You really got to nip that in the bud and do it early, because that's what you do.
I would do.
You
what
bow
Bill
down
does.
To Bill Belichick.
He's a pretty smart guy.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes you look at smart people and you go, you take your cues from them instead of being a contrarian.
And sometimes you look at smart people and say, oh, they screw up too.
Yeah, but in this case,
because not all smart people act smartly all the time.
I think the track record's
even our president has acted stupidly before.
I think the track record for Bill Belichick's kind of out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this case, when it comes to dealing with injuries, I think he does it the right way.
Yeah, that's your opinion. That's not a fact.
Well,
we deal in facts on this show.
Yeah. I think,
and the fact is, there's different ways to deal with it. The fact is, he could win and or lose the game, regardless of what he says about Tom Brady on Wednesday in Foxborough in a press conference.
I think things have kind of worked out for Bill Belichick.
Have they? Yeah. When's the last time he won a Super Bowl?
Okay. Dumb. Yeah, you know, I know that you don't stand by that argument.
I don't. But I don't stand by the. Right. He's a smart guy, so we bow down and just say, "Bill, we trust everything he does is right."
He's done pretty well.
In what case?
Dealing with injuries and the media.
Well, first of all, I don't think he always does a great job. I think he actually creates controversy and stories when he doesn't intend to at times because of his avoidance.
Yeah,
his avoidance becomes a story and fuels the story.
Yeah,
rather than just nipping it in the bud. I think it would be very easy to say and put it to bed. Yeah. I think we all know Brady's probably
in one or two cases, but then he would set a precedent. What do you?
They can't hear that on the radio, so you shouldn't just stop. You should keep talking. He was telling me something off air that maybe I could bring to air.
You know, in your case where he does it once in a while, it sets a precedent, and now he paints himself in a corner that he doesn't want to be painted
in. Because he does
it
all the same, all the time, except he doesn't.
He does.
Except he doesn't.
Except
he doesn't.
That's
a nice little myth you live in.
Yeah, I'll take Belichick's way of doing it over yours.
I'll take Belichick over me. I won't necessarily take Belichick's way over mine.
I would.
I think this story ends.
I would.
The second he says it, the story ends.
Yeah. And then
I think we all know Tom Brady will be on the field in Denver.
How's Ryan Allen?
We're not going to get into player by player.
Why did you talk about Tom Brady?
Because Tom Brady is the quarterback of this football team.
Yeah. And then
Tom Brady has never missed a game in his career when he didn't have a torn ACL and wasn't on IR.
And so the next time that Brady might be hurt, well, you talked about him last time. How come you're not talking about him this time?
Because I choose not to.
Yeah, because now we've set a precedent. So
he sets precedents all the time.
You don't do
See, you act like he's consistent, except he isn't.
When it comes to injuries.
He picks and chooses when he wants to be inconsistent.
When it comes to injuries and players who may or may not play, he is absolutely.
I agree with players who may or may not play.
Very consistent.
I agree with players who may or may not play.
Very consistent.
Tom Brady will play on Sunday.
He's very
Tom Brady
consistent.
Will be out there with the very first snap of the game for the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know that. I know that. He knows that. Yeah. And Tom Brady knows that. Ryan Mallett knows that. John Fox knows that. Yeah. Peyton Manning knows that. Champ Bailey knows that. Everybody knows that,
I can't talk about it.
Talking, you know, yelling and talking.
I'm not yelling.
Makes
not
you
yelling.
Doesn't make you
not
right.
Not yelling.
I'll go with Tom.
Just talking
Bill,
very
I'll go with
eloquently.
Bill Belichick's way of doing it.
Of course you will.
And it's worked. And
has it?
Yes, it has.
Has it?
Yeah.
Has it?
Oh, God. Don't be a fool. Joel from South Burlington, Vermont says, great win last week. The play calling was very straightforward with really no major surprises. Yeah, hand the ball to LeGarrette Blount. I think we need a gadget.
Did you not get the SI cover because it said Blount force drama? What does that even mean?
I think we need a gadget play or two this weekend to help boost the offense. Do you see the use of a gadget play or any trickery? What do you think are the chances for this to be the week that Julian Edelman attempts a pass? I think he's due.
That's a guy who's not very confident because he thinks you need to pull out all the stops, quote unquote. Don't you think? I mean, that right there, if you're thinking, oh, I need a throwback,
right.
I need a this, I need, you don't think you can win. And I'm not sure I've reached that level. I have my doubts about the passing game and the playmaking. I have my doubts. I have my doubts that you're not just going to run for 260 yards and don't need to make some plays through the air.
We said yesterday, don't be surprised if they come out to establish the pass.
Right.
You know?
With Austin Colley.
You know?
He is my dark horse playmaker. I just hope he plays.
You know, whoever it is.
We don't talk about who's going to play.
I really think that they will do that. I really think they're going to come out throwing. You know, and then they'll just bang him with Blount at some point. But they're going to establish the pass.
I think there's – I mean,
and by the way, the temperature's going up. The high's like 62 now on Sunday. So –
see, that right there, if you believe Manning's a softy and a choker, shouldn't that right there make him be like, this is my year? It could be 30, but it's 60. This is my year, damn it. I'm rolling through them. You know what I mean? Like, that should boost his internal whatever a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Plus, he's not sure if Brady's going to play, so if he faces Mallett, he's got a really good chance to win this game.
Let's see. TG and NJ, just a kudo to Andy on his non-fake smile during the Patriots Today video with Jackie UK. Good job.
Thank you.
I know it was such a bone of contention last week during PFW in Progress. Nice improvement, Andy. See Fred and Pauly, he is coachable.
See, no improvement. We were actually joking. See, and because TG, we actually joked.
He can't even take a compliment.
We actually joked, so there was an appropriate time for a smile
he's unbelievable.
A laugh.
You can't even like give him a compliment. He's just incorrigible.
It wasn't really a compliment. It was a backhanded compliment.
Okay, crazy paranoid football question. Remember how Deion Branch was such a factor in last week's Colts game?
Yep.
Are we expecting the same X factor from Marquise Cole now that the Broncos picked him up? The Branch signing didn't bother me, but this Marquise Cole signing does. He has helped the Patriots get to where they are this season. Wasn't it he and McCurdy that tipped the INT?
Yep.
I forget which game it was. Anyway, just a rhetorical question. If the Patriots went on to win it all, would Cole have gotten a ring if he didn't sign with the Broncos? I guess I just have too much time to kill. Can't wait for the game.
Definitely would have gotten a ring if he hadn't signed. I still think he should and will get a ring, even though he did sign with the Broncos.
Okay.
Fred does not. Right? You're on the record saying you don't think he should?
My knee jerk was no, he shouldn't. But now that I think about it,
jerk
maybe they will.
I think that would be terrible. I think it would be classless.
Yeah.
I think I'd be disappointed.
Yeah.
He helped you. He was a player on
this
team.
And you can't blame a guy for looking for a job.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like he spurned you. You called him this week and said, we want to bring you back. And he said, no, actually, the Broncos called. And I think they have a better chance to win the Super Bowl, so I'm going to go to the Broncos. You didn't call him. How long is he supposed to sit around and wait for, right? You got to move on. It's like with women. You got to move on.
James,
I got a number. Can I do my number? This is from, I got to get the listener right who tweeted it to me. He did a very good job. At @Nick_Guptill. Put me on this. Did you know since the Patriots and Broncos played the first time, the kickoff of that game, so including that game and everything since,
yeah,
the Patriots have scored 233 points. The Broncos have scored 232 points. Mm. The Patriots have allowed 161 points. The Broncos have allowed 161 points.
Wow.
In that whole span since,
that's amazing.
One offensive point advantage for the Patriots. They're the same.
That's amazing.
And they both lost in their division. We lost to the Dolphins. They lost to the Chargers. It's interesting because you think of the dominant, powerful offense. Right. Now, remember, that was sort of still the end of the Gronk there. You had a little more two weeks of Gronk, or a week and a half of Gronk.
Right.
But, you know, 1 point difference, and, you know, in football, it's that close. It's a hair.
James in Brisbane, how good is it to be in the AFC Championship again? It's amazing. During the Chargers game over the weekend, I noticed a few tweets mentioning the Broncos reporters cheering and celebrating after plays. So that left me with one question. Will Fred get into a fight during the game? Possibly. Anyway, I have a theory on Sunday's game. The best thing for the Patriots to do is to play loose and with some emotion. Look at the way the teams that have won lately. They have all had that same sort of attitude, especially on defense. If they can get a couple of decent clean hits early, it could set a good tone for the game and maybe rattle someone like Welker, who has shown he can be muscled out of a playoff game.
Oh, I'm not looking to rattle him.
No?
Yeah, I just guy coming off multiple concussions.
He really looks like Stewie from Family Guy with that helmet.
So. And he was trying to say it was like not all that different or something, Paul was telling me. It
certainly
had like
looked bigger.
Black, and it had – he has worn the New Age helmet, which has that like the little jaw.
Yeah.
The thing, sides go down a little further, but this had like black, thick, tight pad. It was up against his face.
Yeah.
Like, and we've talked about that. Maybe one of the problems is the helmets need to be form fitted better to the heads because all
these guys are just taking their helmets off.
Yeah,
it
just slips
easily.
Right off.
Yeah.
Just flies right off.
It's ridiculous.
That's how it's supposed to look, I think. It's supposed to leave marks on you when you take it off. You're supposed to have to pull out the ears to take it off.
Mike in Puerto Rico is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, I just got a strategy question regarding the game. A scenario which happened last week. Okay, we score and there's a defensive unsportsmanlike conduct or anything of the sort right after the play, right? So it's 15 yards to success on the kickoff, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. In that particular scenario, we would be kicking off on the 50.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we onside kick out of that?
You could. You definitely could.
I mean, if you don't make it, first of all, especially if you see it out there, if you see that they don't have any particular onside return or anything of the sort,
yep.
And
at worst case scenario, they start at the 40. It's an out of bounds kick.
Well, the Patriots had just that scenario last game, and I was calling for on the blog that kick it really high, you know, inside the 10 and try to pin him back there. I think Gostkowski boomed it into the stands instead. You know, but I would just kick it really high, give my coverage team plenty of time to get down there and swarm them.
The only problem is if you do that, you are giving the slight chance for a big play. Because if you don't, you know, a guy misses a tackle and a guy breaks free,
but
it's guaranteed they're going to start at the 20 and not give up a big play.
I would trust my guys, and the ball's up there, the guy's looking for it, he's going to call a fair catch.
No, I know, but he doesn't have to. Right. There's a chance I like Mike's idea better. I was actually thinking about that. That would be a ballsy, just end it kind of play. And there's a payoff. You get the ball back again.
Right.
In yours, there's a payoff, but it's not huge. If they get it at, say, the 11 instead of the 20, you made 9 yards or you made this, you know, and
at best, they get it at the 40, their own 40, which isn't
exactly
bad.
Right. Yeah. And then if you look at their lineup, I mean, usually who's the first line on a kickoff for the returning team? That's usually linebackers and stuff?
Linebackers, tight ends, that type of build.
So they're not even close to being a hands team. So if you're in a situation like that, I mean, just go for it.
Well, you still could potentially give them the ball, and it's not just it could be, say, the 45 or the 44, because they can come up and field it. But you're putting them near midfield. It's Andrew Luck. They have a lot of big play scoring drives this year, short scoring drives. Yeah, you can put your foot on their throat, but you could give them a little bit of life there. You are giving them 20 free yards or 20 plus free yards.
Yeah.
But it's not inconceivable.
I like my thing.
I don't.
And one more question before I leave. Are any of you guys concerned that as of today, neither Edelman nor Tlaib have been signed to extension?
No.
No, not really. No.
Nope.
Neither of you are concerned?
Nope. No.
I mean, let's look at Julian Edelman. I do think he's raised his value. He'll have more interest next year. How much more interest or compared to Wes Welker, who had a couple teams interested at $12 million? You could match that if you want.
Younger and bigger.
But he's not as good. That's the other issue. He's not anywhere near as good. He's had one productive season. He stayed healthy once. Welker stayed healthy forever and had 6 productive seasons.
And Tlaib?
And Tlaib, I'm not sure.
You can always franchise him.
You can franchise him. I'm not sure he wants to sign right now. Like our little scenario. What if he goes out and absolutely shuts down Demaryius Thomas this week? Well, you just tacked on $5 million or $10 million, whatever. You know, I would play it out if I were him, too, and see what I can get. Or maybe he won't, you know, whatever. It doesn't really bother me right now, no.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, but thanks, Mike. It's for some reason, I'm not with either of these guys. I'm not.
Because I'm a little hesitant on both, actually. Because Edelman, A, yeah, he made it through one season. That's great. Will he make it through the next 3 that I sign him to or whatever? And B, I have Amendola. I know he's your best receiver, and the way you feel right now, you're like, I got to have him. He's the only guy that catches passes. But can you sign 2 guys? Are you too, you know, sort of centralized into that position? And Tlaib, I'm a little worried about the hip and the recurring hip injury and just saying, okay, I'm going to give him $50
million. Yep. Let's go to Trey in Florida. Hey, Trey. Trey.
Hey.
Wake up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, turn down your internet.
I heard you guys talking about a couple of the Andrew Luck interceptions yesterday, and I want to talk about the Jamie Collins one in particular. You guys said it was bad. I didn't think it was that bad of an interception by Luck. If you watch the replay, it looked like Collins was cheating to the outside a bit, as if he was anticipating Flinger to break to the sidelines. And I guess when Andrew Luck sees number 91 running down the field, cheating towards the sidelines a bit, I think he just underestimated Collins' athleticism on the play, because the way Collins flipped his hips and undercut that route was, I mean, how many linebackers could do something like that?
No, it was a good play, but I thought there was another body there, too. I don't know whether it was Gregory or McCourty. I thought he was throwing into traffic, and he had a shorter guy for like a 10, 12-yard gain who was wide open. So that's why I said I thought it was he kind of went right over the top of a wide open guy to throw into a little traffic. You're right though. I thought Collins made a nice play on the ball. I give him credit for that. It wasn't a horrific interception. I just thought he had a better play underneath.
Yeah, because when I seen the replay and I saw how Collins slipped his hips like that, he looked like a safety out there. It was unbelievable to me. I haven't seen that out of a Patriot in I don't know how long.
Well, I have said I think that's the best playmaking linebacker game we've seen in terms of that versatility in this era, in the Bill Belichick era. And, you know, we've been sold on Hightower and Thomas. They never did things that Jamie Collins did in that game. Now, I'm not saying he's going to do that all the time or that's what we should expect every week now, but that overall performance of pass rush, setting the edge, making plays at the line of scrimmage, running with receivers,
speed.
Haven't seen that.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, he has a chance to be really special, I think.
Yep, he is a unique, and I like the swagger. I like, you know, you hearing these DBs say that he tells us, oh, he's better than us, that he can outjump us. And I also like it them just sort of lusting after his build. He's one of those freaks. You know, he's bigger, he's more athletic than he should be given his size and all that. And I like when you hear other pro athletes sort of jealous of what a guy has. That tells you that guy's got something special.
All right, thanks, Trey. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all?
How you doing, Melvin?
Not much. Fred, I have to piggyback on the point from yesterday, is that you have no idea how bad you hurt our feelings when you're against the Patriots.
And the scary thing,
what's your like? Just because we're using that from Eric, and we're using that from Eric, and then it's a perfect show because Paul and Andy have the objective point. And you normally, Fred, you don't have any type of set. Normally with y'all, you just roll with what you go.
Yeah, well, I don't know how yesterday turned into I'm against the Patriots.
You didn't have your confidence. You were weak.
Come on now.
Yeah, you were. It's not what we're used to.
How come people didn't yell at me when I picked against them against the Dolphins?
Oh yeah. I was gonna get on that. Yeah, you were confident that we were gonna lose to the Dolphins, and then you were very confident that Baltimore week.
Right.
I have no idea how. And then you were kind of on the fence. It felt like to me about the Colts game. So I was just
I was completely wrong.
Fred, that's part of why people are worried. Because you were right about Miami. You were right about Baltimore, correct?
Right.
Exactly.
And you're not right. Overly confident this week. If you're right, that's not good.
Yeah, but I was
You've wrong. Had a great year picking games.
I thought it would be a 5-point spread last week, and I was
but
way
Fred,
off.
It was a 7-point game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You weren't as far off as the final score looks. And that's why people are worried. You've been right a lot. And if you're worried and if you don't think they can win this game or are hesitant to think they're going to win this game, people are like, uh-oh, he's been right a lot. Right?
Exactly. And it shakes us up because, like I said, Fred, you're the leader.
You are the footy pajama leader.
Well.
Yes, you're the leader. So when our leader's shaky, the troops are back here just as shaky as you are. We're looking
at you. You got to rape and pillage, Fred.
All right.
Rape and pillage in the mountains of Denver.
All right. Don't worry, Melvin. By tomorrow, I will have figured this all out.
Okay.
All right.
There we go. That's what we want here. That's
okay.
What we want here.
We're going to be fine.
I do want to say again.
We'll be fine.
There we go. That's what I'm used to. We're fine. But not against, because that's Eric, like I said.
Oh, yeah.
But not as confident.
Yeah.
When, like I said, when you get not as confident, we get worried.
Eric
but,
out and out wants them to lose. Paul just doesn't want to work. He doesn't really – like, if there was a way the Patriots could win the Super Bowl and he didn't have to work, he'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I understand that. But my original point was I was going to get on the game. I really have nothing else more to say. They're like everybody else. Get on them quick. I do like the fact that the Broncos always seem to cough up the ball every now and then, get our turnovers, and we get on them quick. I feel like we can win the game like normal. But
right.
The thing I did read, I was saying something about a contract extension with McCourty. And other than him being from Rutgers, you know, I have no idea why he's our moneymaker back there with Saints. He's okay. He's not the worst thing I've seen back there. But come on, let's be honest. I mean, he's not just that dynamic back there. And he gave up a couple of, I mean, you know, the Patriots, I'm used to it by now. It's going to be a series where they look like they're blind or they've never played defense before in their life.
Yeah.
The thing about
McCourty is that, you know, I'm not saying that he's of the level of Wilfork, but I hesitate to see what would happen if he was out for an extended period of time. I think he does bring stability back there.
He brings stability. Yeah. But that doesn't mean you necessarily pay him X millions of dollars.
Well, you pay him, you know, it's good to have him in the fold for a reasonable amount.
Well, what's a reasonable amount?
I don't, you know.
I mean, he's now a second-team All-Pro safety, correct?
Yeah, but he's not going to get, you know, the big money.
I think he's going to get more money than you think.
Well,
because I think they like him, and
what
I think
if he got
when
Kyle
they like
Kyle Arrington money.
Oh, I'd do it in a heartbeat. He's okay. going to get a lot more than Kyle Arrington.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
He's definitely going to. He's going to get. I'm going to guess that he signs a deal in the low $30 million with somewhere between 12 and 15 million guaranteed.
For how many years?
Five years, 4 years, whatever. Yeah. No, it doesn't really.
Yes, it does.
Okay. No, it really doesn't. Because guaranteed means you're paying it.
Whether you pay it in three years or four years or five years.
The bottom line is he's going to get overpaid. I am not of the belief that he is an elite safety by any means. I think he's what you said. I think he's stable, a communicator, a leader. I think they like that. I think he's one of Bill's boys.
That's
just like Mayo is one of
value
his boys.
To that.
I think you will see him re-signed in that role, and you'll pay a little bit more than I would probably like to pay.
Yeah, a little bit more isn't a problem for me.
Well, it depends what a little is.
Exactly.
They paid Arrington a lot more than I would have paid.
Whole lot. I got one more thing that I say, then I get off. But I think that's somewhat part of the problem is that McCourty, I think, is good, but he's like a complimentary player. We need that type of player that's fearful, that teams are scared of.
Yep.
He's okay, but I think he would be a whole lot better if you get a big time pro, a real safety beside him.
They tried to upgrade. They thought Adrian Wilson was an upgrade and a strong safety and whatever, and it didn't work. I mean, they'll continue to do that because I do think McCourty's here long term. Gregory will not be. They will look to upgrade that position next to him with more of an impact playmaker. But Bill likes, we know everywhere, Bill likes reliability. Well, no, but he likes reliability, continuity, consistency, smart. He likes McCourty. He likes Mayo. He likes those guys. I think he'll be here.
Well, that's cool. Like I said, as long as he gets somebody else beside him, I think that'll be a little bit better because I definitely can guarantee that Gregory's not the answer either.
All right.
So, and I know we've already done this
Thanks,
a lot,
Melvin.
But I'm already hearing that safety and corner real, real deep in the draft.
Oh, yeah?
Real deep. So maybe another second round safety, and this time we'll hit on it.
Yeah.
Although I'm not giving up on Harmon that he's not capable.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be the guy, an impact guy, but he's capable.
All right, Jamie in Houston, and then we're going to take a break. Hey, Jamie.
Patriots Nation, leave Fred alone. He's fine. He's a human being. How are you guys?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, I'm riding the wave here, and then you know, enjoy it. We'll take it for what it's worth, and yeah. So you know, Fred the Homer was a little weak in the eyes of Pats Nation, but I thought you were on point. You know, every once in a while. It's good to put your analyst cap on and be reasonable. I got a couple of quick questions. One more point. Going into this game, I think we should do 180 from what, you know, common convention has been. You know, the San Diego Chargers tried to put it to work. Oh, you know, establish a running game. It's been going great and keep Peyton on the sidelines. I think we got to attack their secondary and go to the air and just trying to keep Peyton off the field. That's not the answer. You've got to make him respond. You got to make him come from behind and feel that pressure. And
I agree 1,000%.
Now we have a lack of weapons, but that's what we got to do. That's the road. I mean, we can't abandon the run. It's helpful, but we've got not to be afraid to go balls to the walls and let it fly. And the last of the old gunslingers throwing down.
I'm with you, Jamie, and that's why I said. You know, yes, like Austin, somebody's going to have a game that we didn't see coming because you're right. They don't theoretically have the weapons to do what I think we all think they need to do, which is go after. You know, I even had a friend yesterday I was talking to. He said, I know he likes to defer. I'd rather he just take the ball, march down the field, and put some mental pressure on Manning. You know, try to get a 7-0 lead and get Manning, oh, I'm already playing catch-up. It's first quarter, blah, blah, blah. That kind of thing. I agree. You're not just going to run the ball and say, oh, we'll keep Manning on the sideline. We'll win this game.
Because to my point, we saw San Diego do it and fail, and all things being equal, I don't know what San Diego's line was next to ours. I mean, I'll take our offensive line against anybody's in the NFL, but, I mean, would you agree that Matthews and Woodhead are complementary, you know, exchangeable pieces and parts to our running back field? I mean, that they're as good on paper than our guys are.
Matthews wasn't last week.
He was hurt. He barely, like, they didn't even know if he was going to play. Then he did play, and he wasn't.
See, that's the problem, and that really hurts San Diego. They've been riding Matthews a lot lately, and they couldn't do it in that game, and that really hurt them.
Yeah, I think he was probably 80%, and then they smashed him against that line early.
Yep.
And he had a little bit of success, and then he had like one last like burst for like
right.
10 yards, and that was it.
That was yep. it. Yep.
But I don't think you're going to get much better just smashing our guys at the line.
I think, you know, like we've seen in the past where, you know, lately they've been coming right out with Blunt on their first series. But I think we've also seen where that first series is a pass-oriented series, and then the second series is a run-oriented. I think you're going to see that. I think mm-hmm. you're going to see first series, we're going to try to set up the pass, try to move the ball, not deep downfield, but methodically move the ball. And then second series, you're going to see Blunt to see what, you know, to test their defensive line.
Because they're going to want to probe them on the perimeter. And yeah. I think we need to get – I mean, they're not a big secondary backfield. I mean, we know Hooman can catch the ball. You know, let's put it in these big bodies. Let's let the secondary get smashed against the big bodies, you know, and wear them down and then kill them.
Yeah.
You know, late with the vertical game.
You know, and look, hey, you know, everyone's saying, oh, I wish it was bad weather. You know, the Patriots can take advantage of the good weather too. You know, if your weapons aren't quite as good, well, they can benefit from not having adverse, you know, weather.
Yeah, but I think, A, they have the better weapons, but B, their quarterback is more adversely affected by the weather than your quarterback.
Yeah, I know, but if we can do something to rattle him a little bit, the good weather can help our offense, too.
Well, on both sides of the ball, it's so cliche, but it's turnovers. I think Manning's going to have to make a mistake or two, and third down. You need to stay on the field. You need to get him off the field some of the time. It's it's very simple.
I know.
It's
and they're
football
thinking the
math.
Same thing.
Right. I mean,
they're, you know, it's like we got to stop the run so that we can get the ball back.
For them a little bit, I'm thinking, I personally, if I'm them, I'm thinking how I wanted the 07 Patriots to think. We're going to go out there and put everything to rest. We are going to kick the Patriots' ass. We're the best offense that's ever been put together, and we're going to prove it to go to the Super Bowl. I would want a swagger if I'm the Broncos' offense. I would want a swagger this week.
Right.
One more piece.
Yeah.
How are we on punters? Are we shopping around, or are we fielding punters in
nope.
the
Ryan Allen's on the field.
And the report is that
he's fine. We don't know.
He's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great talking to you. Go Pats. And I hope we have plenty of good news to talk about next Tuesday.
Okay, thanks. That's Jamie in Houston. We're going to take a break right now. We got more emails coming up after the break. We'll be right back.
Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that Do Not Disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin.
He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hungry?
Are you hung?
Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for...
Heffernans.
Heffernans. I was going to say Heffernrepper, but that's... All right, we'll see you on... See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress.
That might be as shaken up as you've ever gotten.
Well, I mean...
You just, like, you lost it.
The poor kid.
Well, you shouldn't have asked him if he was hungry.
I didn't. You cut
the audio
me off.
Does not lie, Fred.
You cut me off, and you know I wasn't able to finish. So,
who knows where
it's
it was
always
going.
On your mind, even when there's a little kid in the room, which is really, really creepy.
Everybody in the room heard the same thing.
You need to talk to somebody.
Everybody
about
in
what's
the room
on your
heard
mind.
The same.
The
thing.
Best was the Christmas poem when he was like, when Fred asked my son if he was hung.
Right. His father heard it. His mother heard it. Right. The kid heard it. Paul, Andy, and Eric heard it.
We were talking about him being
the best
hungry.
Was Fred's reaction, though. He's just like, oh, God.
Yeah. That's as shaken up as he's ever been on this show. And he said a lot of things that never shook him like that.
Jeff in FLA says the Patriots are overall a more solid team in all three phases with collectively more better players than the Broncos and a far superior set of coaches. Don't be surprised if this game becomes a beatdown. The Broncos are a passing team and a Tiger cannot change its stripes. Belichick, however, is the best at countering Manning, and the New England defensive backs are the best Denver has faced.
Is this a serious email?
So far. Even if Manning decides to again hand off to some mediocre running backs from a pistol spread offense, it will play right into Belichick's hands. Bend, but don't break, and don't let them do what they do best. Advantage, Patriots.
So that's a serious email?
Yes.
We'll just move on then, because it's ridiculous.
Why?
We're better in all three phases. The talent is better. That's ridiculous.
Just collectively, they're a better team.
Oh, okay. So he's not saying on offense.
I don't think he's saying that. No.
Because you look at their offense, they are as good or better at every position. Maybe offensive line you could swing to the Patriots because they've had injuries. But quarterback, right? Running backs. I don't think Knowshon Moreno's great, but he's just like Blunt. He had right around 1,000 yards, and he had one really big game against the Patriots that pushed him over 1,000 yards, essentially.
But, you said maybe the Patriots have a better offensive line. Winning that battle at the line of scrimmage will be the key to stopping Manning. If they don't win that...
And the issue for the Broncos is their tackles. The middle of their line is pretty good. Yeah. They got that, what is his name, Vasquez, or I don't know, some Hispanic name in the middle there that is good. And if they had their tackle, if Clady's out there, that's a different lineup. I mean, they need to take advantage of what I think is an advantage at the tackle spot.
Dan's in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
Good day, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
I wanted to go make some comments about this week's game. But first off, with regards to Aiken being out, I think what's going to happen is to inspire the team, Bill's going to take the next man up thing to another level, and he's going to come on as the long snapper. You know, harking back to his glory days in college, and he's going to be the long snapper, snapping to Brady for the field goals. And
it could be him, or if he's not willing to go quite that far, his son was a long snapper at Rutgers, and he's on the staff, and he's a little bit younger, done it a little more recently. Would be interesting to see a Belichick snapping.
That'd be something.
But anyhow, all kidding aside, I think this weekend, I think the Pats actually look really good. As with any other game this year, and particularly in the playoffs, it's going to come down to who plays best on the day. But I think the Pats secondary matches up well. You've got Tlaib on Demaryius Thomas. Denard play hard on Welker. Collins on Orange Julius. Ryan on Decker with McCourty over the top and maybe mixing some Harmon. And all of these guys have shown that they can make a play on the ball, get that interception, mix it up. It's also Bill playing Peyton as much as it is the secondary playing the individual Broncos.
And that I agree with.
And when it comes down to it, for all the crap that Brady gets about, being the pretty boy and the glamour guy, Peyton's the real pretty boy. The meningulous that goes on with the media, everything's been handed to him, even though he's sucked in the playoffs going all the way back to his college career, whereas Brady's had to fight for everything in his sporting career. He had to prove it at Michigan, and he's had to prove it and struggle for it and work at it. Even after he sort of, won a Super Bowl, it was always Manning that was the guy, and Brady always sort of had to work hard to come out of his shadow and win the big games. So, between the tickets, restricting the ticket sales and the sudden retirement talk about Manning, which I don't know whether they're trying to cash in on the Ray Lewis strategy of one more ride with the general, but it seems to me that the Broncos are collectively crapping their My Little Pony underoos. it'll come down to who plays better on Sunday, but, I think the Patriots are in with a good chance.
All right. I like it, Dan. Thank you.
Paul's
back. The homers
are coming out, Paul. I think on email and on the phone. The
I think a lot of what he just said, I agree with. The crapping the My Little Pony underoos.
Well, that's
I
all you're counting on.
I agree with
Otherwise,
that.
You have every matchup going the Broncos' way, and then you go, I'll take the Patriots.
Not everyone. I think those passing game matchups, I don't like the Patriots' side on any of them.
Well, Dan does. Thinks we match up well against them.
I don't. But the other part I do. What did I miss?
Where were
you? Good? Well, I had to go and talk to Steve Gregory.
Okay.
For the TV show. He was good.
You feel like they match up well with Manning and those receivers?
I asked him if he had talked to any of his San Diego friends.
Well, he's an old AFC West guy.
From playing...
he likes Weddle.
They just played the...
Weddle.
That was the one I used for an example. I said, you spent a lot of years in San Diego. Did you talk to anybody? Maybe Eric Weddle, for example.
Did you do the opposite, too?
He did talk. What?
You spent a lot of years in San Diego. You know Quentin Jammer blows, so is that an advantage for Tom?
I didn't use that. It's like, as soon as we were done, Moose says, about all the calls that Peyton makes, and a lot of times the Patriots will yell different things, and I go, yeah, Steve, I didn't ask you for that because basically I didn't really want to ask you to tell me the game plan during the game. And Moose is laughing, but
Speaking of that, they
just yell out words,
right?
Because they know Peyton's yelling out words all the time, so they know some of the words, so they just start yelling them out. Defense.
Well, Darren Revelle has put a value on those words. Because I guess Omaha Steaks has legitimately considered contacting Peyton to get him to add steaks to the Omaha call. And Darren Revelle said that would value, a little bit of a wide range here, between $400 and $1.3 million worth of that if they could get him to do it in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Add stakes to the Omaha call.
Did you do Omaha stakes?
Did you go into the media workroom? A lot of people.
Oh, packed.
Really?
Packed in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually was outside of the media workroom with Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Awkward.
No, not at all.
Chatting it up?
I wouldn't say chatting it up, but he said hello.
Oh, that's nice.
I said hello first.
He grunted.
No, he said hi.
Back. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Yeah.
Did you say, you know, the other night when you told me if I looked back at...
Can I tell you the very first thing I thought of was if I'm here for any extended time, I was thinking to myself, really, Colin's been rushing the passer a lot this year? Just to see how he reacted.
And I know...
He was on live, well, you know, quote unquote live at 12:50, and he was right on time. So I knew I wasn't going to get any of that.
At the Hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon, he had brought some team. I don't know if it was a lacrosse team or in for a tour.
Nothing says Football Hall of Fame like a lacrosse
team. And they got to the part where it's like a huddle with audio. And the huddle is Randy Moss and Brady. And Belichick gets up there, and Brian Maury is with him. And he goes, Maroney, why do you got Maroney here? And Maury goes, you drafted him. And he starts laughing.
That's a good line by Brian. That's a very, very good line.
That's very good.
If
Andy and I said that, I don't think it would have gone over as well.
Well, I think you would have laughed in that setting.
It's all in the context.
If you did that in a press conference, I don't think he'd laugh.
Yeah, it is all in the context.
Did you see the stuff from Tlaib?
Tlaib, I was on
That's
the
peri- my dog. Cash that check, baby.
Yeah, I was on the periphery of that, and then I walked away because Gregory came out, and right as I walked away, there was a big laughter. There was a huge crew around him. And what was it? What was it about?
That's my dog. Cash that check, baby, Marquise Cole.
Okay.
That's my dog. Cash that check, baby. You know, with his voice, too. Saying those words is even better.
Yeah. He talked a lot about the Broncos passing game, obviously. That's all the questions were, you know, the different weapons. And, you know, he was very deferential and how good they are and blah, blah, blah.
You should have button hooked him and said, I want to talk about the Broncos passing attack. Let's get into Jacob Tammy.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Jacob Tammy.
Please tell me you didn't start with him.
No. Well, we were talking about Julius Thomas. Someone must have asked him, because I couldn't hear all the questions because I was way in the outside. But someone must have asked him about Julius Thomas and not having played in the last game. And he said that's true, and he's a very athletic guy. He's capable of making some plays. He's a good playmaker. But the guy that played the last game played pretty well, and that's Tammy. And he did have a good game. He had a touchdown. He had a key third down catch. He drew a key third down pass interference on the game-tying drive. So Tammy did play pretty well. So it's not like they were missing Thomas and got nothing out of that spot.
Right, right.
Check another one in my
You did day. Miss a good Andy and Fred fight where we turned it up a couple notches for a little while.
It's okay. Just about how Belichick handles injuries with the
Because he wouldn't say anything about Brady. You know, we're not going to go player by player. They'll be out at 4 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what's the big deal if
I'm
he
not
just
asking
says,
you to go player by player.
Right. And that's what Fred said. I go, no. I'm talking about the quarterback. Right. And I said, what's the big deal if he says, I think we all know Tom's going to be out there on Sunday. Something of that nature. And then we got into an argument, and, you know, Fred is bowing down at the shrine that is Bill Belichick. His way is the only way is the right
way. I just think it's funny that if the guy who replaces Belichick, just by some, you know, anti-Charles Barkleyism, he ends up being the same great coach that Belichick is.
That's impossible.
But yet he decides, no, I'm just saying.
Why is that impossible?
Because Belichick's the greatest. There is no one of his equal. There isn't. I mean, that's just a fact.
How can
not
the next one not
fact,
be
not opinion.
As good as?
No, can be good, can win, but he will never be as good as Belichick.
Are you being serious?
That's such an utterly absurd statement.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not even going to.
Belichick's the greatest
I'm not
football
even
coach
engage.
Ever.
I'm not even going to engage in that.
Well, that's a fact, not opinion.
No, it isn't a fact. It's a flat-out opinion. It's the definition of opinion.
Other coaches say it. I mean,
so?
Bill Cowher says it. You're the best coach playing in football.
So there'll never be a coach who's better.
Well, tell me a coach
that
said this.
There isn't one that exists now.
How do you know that?
Maybe 50 years from now there could
be. Could be the next one.
How do you know the guy who replaces him isn't just as good?
Oh, because Albert Breer would have told us about that coach if he existed. Come on.
You don't really believe this crap, do you?
No, I think he does.
Like, I think it's obviously a long shot of all long shots.
I was trying to make a hypothetical up. And if you had Bill Belichick too, and he won 3 titles in 4 years and 80 whatever percent of his games and went to every AFC and everything that Belichick did, he did too. But yet he gave all the injury information, he would say that's exactly the way you need to do it.
Right.
That was my point.
No, I'm not saying that Belichick's way is the only way. I think it's the way I would do it. But other guys can do it differently.
I wouldn't. I would have just said today, he's going to play.
There isn't just the Patriots way that can win. There's every, you know, and what is the Patriots way? It's pretty much the same way every team wants to do things. But, you know, I like the way Belichick does it to me, for me, is the safe way to do it and the smart, consistent way to do it. You know?
Just don't see the danger in the man has never missed a game when he wasn't on IR, so I'm guessing he's going to play.
Yeah, and I think that.
And you nip it in the bud. It's no longer a story. There's no speculation.
Don't you think
there's
gotta be?
Oh my God, he has the flu. What if he needs an IV and he's dead and he's in the hospital?
Don't you think there's got to be some kind of innocuous reason that he didn't practice today?
Sure.
Yeah, but the fact that he can't. I mean, it doesn't bug me because he's so consistent with it. But I just don't think that's the only way you need to do it.
Doesn't really bug me either.
Can I give you a really random kind of thing?
Sure.
And this is I'm going to stun Fred. You know how I'm often sort of dismissive of some of the milestone type SID stats, I call them. You know, like the fact that Blunt had 4 touchdowns and Ridley had 2, so Blunt set a record instead of, like, if it was 3 and 3, it would be any less impressive. To me, it would be the same thing if they had 3 each instead of Blunt having 4 to set the record. The fact that the Patriots have not played a road playoff game since the 2006 AFC Championship game, to me, is absolutely stunning. That's a stunning accomplishment that they've played 9 consecutive playoff games at home, that they're that good that they never have to go on the road to play a playoff game. That to me is amazing. Maybe I might be the only one that finds that amazing, but I think that's an unbelievable accomplishment.
Had they not gone 1 and done against like the Ravens and Jets, would they have gone on the road?
Against the Jets, they were the number 1 seed, so they wouldn't have gone on the road.
That's what I'm asking.
Against the Ravens, they would have gone on the road the next week.
Getting your ass kicked at home so you don't have to play on the road is not that impressive to me.
Well, but not nine games?
No, but they're good.
While advancing to 4 AFC championships in that time?
Yeah.
And this is the first time they have to play on the road in one of those AFC championship games?
I feel a little Paul-like in this one.
That's okay.
I'm going to get my ass kicked this week so I can keep my streak going on the road.
Well, wait a minute. Come on. That's stupid. I started the whole thing and said it might be only amazing to me. But to me, 9 playoff games in a row at home.
Yeah.
You know, San Francisco is about to play their 4th in a row on the road. And by the way, they've won a lot of games recently.
Yeah, but that's because their division's really good. We have a crap bum division, too.
This year, their division was really good.
And it was really good last year. It's been good for the last couple of years here.
Let's go to Tim in D.C. who's hanging on. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I was actually wondering what you guys think Bill Belichick's, tricks up his sleeve he would have for this game, because you know he has them. And as of last year, I've seen on the punting, I've seen Ryan Mallett come in, and they try to get that look that they're going to snap it to him for a quick 3-4 yard gain, maybe a screen. What do you guys think might happen this week?
Well, Andy was saying earlier, Tim, that if you really think that the Patriots need to get into the bag of tricks this week, then you're not confident about your team.
And I actually think...
Did that start a fight?
No. No. I actually think the whole up-his-sleeve bag of tricks is a lot overrated with Bill Belichick. I think he actually tends to do the opposite. And you hear players say, he just simplifies the game. And he just tells you, if you can do this simple thing, these 3 simple things, you can win this football game. And I think that's almost a calming style or philosophy. No, we don't have to do end-arounds and fake punts. If you can shut down the 15-yard outs for Demaryius Thomas, everything else plays off of, and I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know what he would use in his example, but I feel like he actually goes the other way and simplifies it.
You have an assignment. Do your job.
And I'm going to tell you the 3 things you need to do. So don't think you have to rush the passer, cover this. I'm going to give you. And if we lose after you do what I tell you, okay, we'll take that. But I think we're going to win. And more often than not, when he tells people that, they win.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a big Parcells influence. And I know that, you know, a lot of times we say that.
Of course it wasn't Belichick.
No. But and it's really refreshed my memory.
I'm sure it's a Paul Brown influence.
That is probably what it really is.
It might be. I don't know if Parcells has a lot of his background with Paul Brown like Belichick does, but just in watching that Football Life last night, the players that were talking about Parcells were talking about that, and you know how he would, you know how we always say, everybody always expects him to get you know, Parcells was a tough guy to play for. And they always, you know, when things go bad, we're going to get blistered now. And he was the opposite. And everybody says the same thing about Belichick. Like, oh, he's going to be loaded for bear today. No. When they play poorly, they don't need you to pile on. They know they turned the ball over four times. Like, Stephen Ridley doesn't need to get screamed at because he fumbled.
Right.
That's when you need to get picked up a little bit.
Right. Tim in D.C., thanks for the call.
It's only the media, you know, by the way, that holds true for. If they lose, he's not going to give you anything. There's not going to be single quotes. It's going to be one-line answers, and it's going to be, we got out-coached, out-played. If they win, the, you know, coach's corner in our paper will be 12 paragraphs long, and he'll be telling us how great they were on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they executed so well in practice.
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, when Chip Kelly came into the league, one thing I was thinking that might be, you know, work against him is, back in Oregon, he would yell at guys at the on the sideline a lot, and I was thinking to myself, that's not going to play in the NFL. But he has toned it down in the NFL. He doesn't do that. So
be interesting to see how it goes once he's more comfortable with the people.
Yeah.
See, I think of Brian Kelly like that.
Well, Kelly, I was just going to say, the other Kelly does it too. You know,
I'm not sure he's a great coach.
Brian?
I don't think he's a great coach.
Yeah.
I don't want
to. He's coming to the coaches.
As soon as I said that, I was thinking, is that Fred's keynote speaker?
Mike in New Jersey. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Been listening all season, finally getting on live.
Great, thanks for calling.
I wanted to talk about, what do you guys think of maybe putting Shane Breen out at wide receiver a little bit?
I've heard that brought up a number of times this week. Probably about a month and a half ago, I might have agreed. But ever since I've been down on him because he can't catch the ball over his shoulder, it really bothers me. And,
yeah, they got to stop throwing that wheel route.
Yeah, but you know, he's going to be in more of those types of situations if he's out there more often as a receiver. And that's why, you know, with Dobson back, assuming he is actually back.
Has he been practicing?
Well, today. You know, it's his first day back, and we'll see how that progresses over the week. But I'm not sure you need to really pull that out. I think you can kind of leave Vereen in his role, which sometimes motions out to wide receiver.
Yeah, but he's got to get in the game more. I mean, he's basically on the sideline
at
the game.
Yeah, it'd be nice to.
Well, but some of that is they've been a running team, and they've been trending.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when you only throw the ball 24 times and run it 50 times, your third down back's not going to be in the game a lot. If they do what some of us are asking.
But back when Gronk first got hurt.
He was
hurt,
catching 12 or 8 balls a game.
Wouldn't you say, well, if the Patriots get to the AFC Championship, because Vereen's very much a part of the offense. I mean, this has not played out like we thought it would offensively.
We certainly didn't expect it. We only beat Julian Edelman and be running the ball 46 times a game.
Well, I didn't expect to be running the ball 45 times every game.
They're
going
to throw it.
Yep, they're going to throw it to Austin Collie.
They're going to go right in. Austin Collie's going to have a touchdown first drive.
I hear you, brother. We're all in.
They're going to have to spread it out.
By golly, Austin Collie.
All right, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike.
You should have stuck with your penis.
That wouldn't have stunned
me. Squirting out the top thing.
Austin Collie catching a touchdown. I mean, it wouldn't stun me.
No, he's saying more than catch.
Six catches, 80-plus yards.
That would stun me.
Okay. It shouldn't, because I told you it was going to happen, so that shouldn't stun you.
Okay. But yet they have no chance, according to you.
No. I said if they win, he'll do that. They may have no chance because he may not do that. If he doesn't do that, then yeah.
All right, let me ask you a question, Andy. And I know this isn't picks day, but remember how you're thinking going into the Ravens game. And you were right. I wasn't arguing with you. When you look at the individual matchups, I mean, tick them off. The Ravens had the advantage in most areas. Do you feel the same way in this game, and have you learned anything from that?
In that game, I thought it was more the way the Ravens were playing, and it was more situational strengths as opposed to individual matchups. This game, I think, is less situational strengths and more individual matchups. I'm concerned about the various individual matchups, specifically their offense versus our defense. Well, not so much like, oh, what they do on third down or turnovers, they don't turn it over. None of those things. It's more Demaryius Thomas on Aqib Talib. Can I win that battle? Okay, I might win that battle. But then am I going to win the battle of Eric Decker and Alphonso Dennard? Am I going to win the battle, Kyle Arrington? If I win all, am I still going to? And I just, to me, those battles are spread too thin.
Aaron says.
Did you see my number, by the way? Were you here when I said that? The 1-point differential between the Patriots
and
I tweeted earlier?
He wasn't here.
This is a hat tip to Nick up to kill or something.
Underhill?
No.
Oh.
No, just a guy. Like a listener, I assume. Since the kickoff of the Patriots-Broncos game. The first time since straight through. Patriots have scored 233 points. Broncos have scored 232. Patriots have given up 161. Broncos have given up 161. There's a 1-point difference in everything they've done in the cumulative efforts.
And how many games is that? Like four?
Oh, no, more than that.
Five?
It's No, it's probably five more games in the regular season. Probably six or seven, six maybe.
It's pretty amazing.
It's one
not
of those
mad.
It's like I think the Broncos have exactly 1,000 yards by penalty. Like they're a 1,000-yard penalty team. I just those nice round numbers, and you think of 16 games and all this, and it comes down to just boom, there it right. is.
Boop. There it is.
Aaron says Dan Salty? Shaughnessy has already called for the Patriots to lose against Manning this weekend, saying the Patriots can't win road games and that they're underdogs according to Vegas odds. I say so freaking what? Brady's 10-4 against Manning all time. Moreover, Manning's 10-11 in the playoffs. Shaughnessy sucks. He's the worst. I think he secretly loves betting against all Boston teams. He's a hometown sports curmudgeon.
Well, Paul, I mean, he's going to be 10-11.
Well, yeah, I think he is.
Because we had some emails yesterday. I don't even know the number. Is it 10-10?
I think he's 10-10.
Because somebody else said yesterday we were talking about 10-10, and it really is 10-11. So I don't know the.
Oh, then maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was 10. I thought
you're
it was
never
10
wrong,
and 10.
Paul.
No.
Paul, you are always right. I tell you all the time, you are never wrong.
Not with numbers. I'm often wrong with numbers because
Ian Rappaport
I was told there'd be no math.
Is reporting Brady is indeed sick today, and someone talked to the QB to confirm. Hope he's home eating chicken noodle and watching film. Ian Rappaport,
something I wanted to say before that.
Reporting he's sick,
which means he isn't. Crap sheet.
What was the previous one? Oh, Shaughnessy.
Shaughnessy. Did you read that column
last
today?
Week? No. Ugh. And I didn't read his column last week either. But last week, everybody was up in arms because he said they were going to kill the Colts.
Right.
This week, he says they're going to lose. Everybody's up in arms.
Yeah.
Like,
did he do this last year, too?
I don't have much faith in Shaughnessy. Like, I don't really care. But it seems to me he can't win no matter what he writes.
Well,
he said they were going to win last week and everybody killed him. He says they're going to lose this week and everybody killed him.
Yeah, he's just setting people up. He's just looking for clicks. That's all.
Well, isn't that his job?
Especially a columnist. A beat reporter not looking for clicks. He's looking for news. A columnist is supposed to stir up interest.
This is the same thing he does every year.
Well, that's why I was
asking. That's his job every year is to get attention to his column.
Did he do the exact same thing last year? Because I know he said Houston had no chance and the Colts had no chance.
The march of the tomato cans, yes.
But did he do the same thing with Baltimore? The Patriots had no chance?
No.
Oh, so he mixed it up a little bit. A little roll.
Yeah. But he's boring. Let's see.
he's boring.
I only wish I had that boring of a career.
Gary is in Ohio.
Your career
is pretty
boring.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Gary?
Is anybody worried the fact that Brady ain't practicing today?
Nope.
So, I mean, the game plan and everything, you know, not practicing the game plan is no worry at all?
Not really. He puts in the game plan, so he'll know it.
All right.
I mean, he could be in the building doing get film and all that stuff. He's probably not at home under the covers.
I shouldn't say it's not a worry, but it's a minimal worry.
If he's really just sick, then I'm not worried. If it's something that they're covering up, then potentially
I'm guessing based on the sniffles last week, and he played a game in the rain, and it probably didn't get any better and all that. But, I mean, I guess you could get worse, right? I don't know, flu-like symptoms and... But so I shouldn't say nothing. It's like a 6% worry.
I've had some of my best games when I thought I was sick. You know,
I mean, I just hope he gets feeling better.
Best
you know,
games
the underdog story, I think, is plays to our advantage, too, because, you know, now the pressure's on the Broncos. Of course, the pressure's on us, too. I mean, it's, you know, one of our home, but I think we got a very good shot this week. I think we're going to win.
Why?
Why? Well, for one, is Brady and Manning. We do win.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Belichick
that's
and Brady are getting Manning's head. I think it'll be a similar game to last week. I think we'll have a big play to begin with and get the momentum all the way. And I just think it's, you know, as soon as that happens, Manning's going to be sitting over there, oh, boy, here we go again.
I can summarize Paul Perillo's predictions dating back to about August with, like, two sentences. It always works out for Belichick and Brady. It never works out for Manning.
My theory is that Manning's going to choke. It's not about Brady, Manning, or anything.
No, I know.
But Fred
so
said,
your two
that's,
theories
my
are...
theory is not that Brady and Manning, Brady usually wins. My theory is
well,
Manning's going to choke.
It's a conjunction of your two theories. It always works out for Belichick and Brady. It never works out for Manning. So it's perfect, even though you believe every matchup favors the Patriots.
That's not what I said. I don't believe every matchup favors the Patriots. I mean, favors the Broncos.
How often do you think I can get him to fall for the same trick?
Because you keep saying it.
Now, I did want to get him on the record, Fred, because you know his whole theory is Brady's never played in the last, you know, 7 years back-to-back.
See, this is another
games.
One that he exaggerates to the
end. So the other night when they won, I said, Paul, I just want, did Brady play, how did Brady play today?
I would say he was just average the other night.
So
I don't
that
think
wasn't
he was
a good
great.
One. So even if he plays a good one this week, it's not two in a row. He still then needs to do the
Super Bowl.
Well,
what do you think that he played the other night? I asked
I
you and you didn't say anything.
A borderline non-factor.
Yeah, what did you think?
He managed the game.
He was a borderline non-factor. He didn't screw it up. He didn't suck. He could have screwed it up.
He was 2003 Brady. It's fine.
More like 2001 Brady.
Yeah. He didn't have to win the game at the end because the game was won.
So therefore, he needs to win this game and then the Super Bowl to have two back-to-back good plays.
No, he needs to play well. It's not about winning. He's won plenty of these playoff games that he hasn't really done a whole lot in.
He needs to play well.
He needs to play well
and
consistently.
He's been very cantankerous today.
He's took my role from yesterday.
You
it's unbelievable.
It. In the whole Belichick argument, he finishes. You know, I think it's worked out pretty well for Belichick.
And that's the bottom line for Frank Kirk.
I responded with, "Has it? Has it?" He's like taken aback, and he just starts roaring and laughing.
You guys are so predictable. Every argument, when Fred gets really backed into the corner, no, I think it's worked out pretty well. What do you want?
Adriana is in Virginia. Hey, Adriana.
CP3.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, see, now, again, we get a women a caller.
We get a women?
We get a women caller.
And Andy has to just like...
We
know,
like women callers here.
That's good. I've been told that you like women callers, so I felt that I needed to, you know, call in today.
See, it's working, Fred. I make them feel wanted, yeah. And the women call in more. They are embracing the love that I spew.
Adriana, now you're going to get, now you're gonna get to feel uncomfortable any moment.
How old are you, Adriana?
There you go. And there you have it.
I'm 23.
Nice. Eric's interesting.
Eric.
All right, what do you got?
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I'm 24.
He's out. It's 23 and under for him.
Now you lie, so now you're out.
Did you just have a birthday? Happy birthday if you did.
Oh, yeah, it was in October.
Oh, well, you probably should know your age by now then. What do you got for the Patriots?
Well, I am a newly recruited Patriots fan, and I must say, I am in love with the Patriots. I mean, I have so much faith in them, and, you know, listening to all these callers lately being so negative, it's really upsetting me that nobody has faith in the team. I mean, I know we were in the same position last year, but I feel like despite all that we've gone through with losing Gronk and, you know, all the injuries we've had and Brady having to get this, you know, these rookies, you know, in check, I think he's doing a great job. So I think I want to know, how do you guys feel? Do you think we're going to make it, or are you going to be negative like everybody else?
No, I think they're going to win. But, you know, the thing about me is all I'm saying is if they don't win this game or don't win the Super Bowl, I don't think that diminishes the great job that you're talking about this year.
But we're not talking about
right.
that. That's for next
I'm
week.
Talking to Adriana. I'm not talking
to you. No, you're not.
You.
You're not doing a good job.
I think it's been an amazing job to get this far regardless. I think.
So you set him up to not be. You're doing the opposite of what you complain that I do.
People say this might be one of Bill Belichick's greatest coaching years ever.
He's right. You're setting him up to lose.
They're saying
it's the epitome of Tom Brady's career. There's nothing he can do wrong.
Why can't we save that mentality for next week? Why can't we just analyze the game and say, are they going to win? Are they going to lose? Or do you feel confident? Do you not feel confident?
Quiet.
If they lose, it just becomes a miracle that they were able to fulfill everybody's expectations of them and win all the games that they were two-score favorites in.
They're talking about this being Belichick's greatest coaching year for a reason. Because
I don't care about they. You. I want you to talk. You're an expert. Don't talk about they.
He's an expert.
Okay.
He's an expert.
Right. Really?
He goes to every game. Right. He knows more about this team than Eric. No, I want to ask you a question,
so
Adriana.
Does Will.
Paul believes that the Patriots are going to win, but he pretty much believes that the Broncos are going to lose.
I think the Broncos are a better team. I think the Patriots are going to win the game.
Adriana, do you think?
I think that's a fair, accurate
I mean,
description of me.
I don't know if I agree with you. I mean, I know
you don't think the Patriots are going to win?
No, she doesn't agree.
But I'm
I think the Patriots are going to win. I stand by it.
Do you forget that comeback that we had with with Peyton Manning?
Yeah,
I do.
Very different game. We're missing Gronk. Gronk is the most irreplaceable player.
I completely throw that entire game out because I don't think that the Broncos would have jumped out to a 24-0 lead if they didn't turn the ball over four times. And I don't think the Patriots would have come back from a 24-0 deficit if Denver didn't turn it over four times.
And you can also legitimately throw it out because the Broncos wouldn't have had the big lead if Von Miller didn't play, and he's not going to play. And the Patriots wouldn't come back if they didn't have Gronk, and Gronk's not going to play. So throw it out.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be an epic struggle.
Right. And well, I have not yet decided.
See, I don't think it's going to be.
Make it up
you do. I don't. I think the Patriots are going to win. I don't think it's going to be an epic struggle.
I got a
struggle.
3-point win. That's not a struggle?
Four.
Right. Sorry, four.
And I think it's going to be late garbage for Denver.
Adriana, what's
the
last
score? Touchdown's going to be scored by Denver.
I'm going to pick the score. I'm going to say it's going to be a close game. Let's say.
Well, you're right with me, Adriana.
Patriots are going to be, let's say they're going to be, I think they're probably going to win that field goal. I'd say maybe, let's say 23-20. I don't know.
All right. Well, okay. All right.
I think it's going to be a low scoring game.
We'll be fine.
And call back next week when we're talking about the Super Bowl.
All right.
Thanks, Adriana.
Getting to the end here. Chris Price is in the house.
Where's Dale and Matt Chatham?
Without the bow tie, too.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, it's not a game day.
Yeah, but Chatham's not here. You might get to talk to him.
And he won't be ripping your narrative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. We always
media narrative.
Yeah, exactly. We always give him crap for being, you know, for getting paid by the word. So
I thought you were gonna say for being a pompous ape.
Just love kidding, Matt. Love you.
So Chris is
more special teams.
Chris is gonna be here from 2 to 4.
Lots of nice good special teams talk.
And I know Kevin, there's gonna be a lot of good guests with Chris.
No punter. Yeah, we got Russell Baxter. We got Mark Johnson of KOA Radio in Denver. Got a lot of good stuff.
Mark Cutback Johnson,
great. Buster Crab. All right,
Buster Crab.
Who's Mark Cutback Johnson?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I believe that was one of the surfers. Mark Cutback Johnson.
I thought it was a legitimate like running back in the 70s.
I always thought Mark Johnson one of the what not Phoebe
Mark Johnson
Kings,
was
but,
one of the
wasn't
Olympic
he the boyfriend though at
players.
The beginning? Well, yeah. I mean, also played for the Hartford Whalers.
Ron,
too.
It was Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson. Ron the Vet Johnson.
Tell you what, this guy we're having on though has got one of the best sets of pipes in all of radio.
Best set, really? I beg what?
It's amazing.
Hey,
keep that to yourself.
Chris, should we be concerned about Tom Brady?
No.
Ian Rappaport is now reporting that he is actually sick.
He's got a cold. I mean, he
I wasn't concerned until Ian Rappaport started tweeting things that said we shouldn't be concerned.
They didn't have anything to do with food. You know.
Wow.
Check. Here's a chance, man. Right in. Like it.
Look, he's got a cold. He came out with the press conference last week with the cough drop and the red eyes and the sniffles.
Setting himself up, for failure.
Exactly, yeah.
No one could blame him if things go bad.
But you know what, though? Remember, what was it? The 2004 AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh where he climbed out of bed and had chicken soup.
I don't even know how he did it. No one thought he could do it.
Yeah, so
despite the fact that they were favored in that game, no one thought he could do that.
Oh, boy.
But now they can actually play that card this week. They can actually do that. They can say
they're actually not favored in this game.
Yeah, they can walk in and say what's the last time they went on the road they weren't favored in a game wasn't 2010, the game in Pittsburgh, I want to say.
In a playoff game, you mean?
No, I'm just saying just any time they went on the road.
I don't think they were favored at Baltimore this year. I think Baltimore was a slight favorite.
I believe they were favored.
Really?
Yeah, I'd have to check that. They might have been getting a point.
Okay.
It was close.
It is, but I mean, they could legitimately now play that card that we've heard from them, for however many years.
Yeah, no, they're underdogs in this game, no doubt.
They're legitimate.
They can play that. Yeah. They can play that underdog role this week.
They're playing the wrong card. The card they should be playing is
the
nobody
race card.
Nobody wants us to win. That's the card, because that's the truth. Nobody wants them to win that's not a Patriots fan.
That's pretty much been true ever since
that's every
2005.
Game they've ever played.
Yeah.
I think
they beat the Rams.
Yeah. kind of the shine was lost after, some about February 15th, 2002.
They hate us. Yeah. So, all right, Chris, well, have a good show. We've got to get going and do some other things.
Now I got to go to the sports.
We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday. We'll get our picks in. Our last show before this big matchup in Denver. We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.